did this. I never wanted to unleash my legions.
So that was a lie. Anyway, tonight on Edge of Empire, Rob realizes it's time to get down to business. Graham decides we need to defeat the Huns. Michael asks, did they send us daughters when we asked for sons? And Chris says that we're the saddest bunch he ever met.
Good evening. Well, it might well be what morning by the time we get past the intro. And welcome to episode 8 of year 7 of Edge of Empire. Tonight we are doing the following wondrous things. We're going to have a look at the updated rules for Zone Mortalis. Because Michael's involved in the show, we're going to be looking at terrain options.
I noticed that.
Yeah, I snuck that in.
I'm talking.
And then we're going to do a Zone Mortalis list challenge. Because everybody loves Zone Mortalis, but only about 6 people ever played it. And Chris is the only person in human history to have admitted to ever buying the board.
It's not true.
So, yeah, we love a bit of ZM. So, speaking of Chris, I am joined by the Vigilator of Vexation, the angriest man in the heresy that is Chris Mills.
Vigilator of Vexation.
We've quantifiably proved, Mr. Ng, that half of your statement is very much incorrect.
Well, still,
it's always a pleasure.
Chuckling away there, we have the Moritat of middle age, that is Graham Mills,
Damn right, the brother, senior. Both pistols on, well, work occasionally.
Both gets hot.
Both pistols may overheat or jam randomly and not be as efficient as they could be.
That's exactly it.
It doesn't play well with others. Yeah.
Do I count as middle age now?
How old are you?
40.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, you don't, Mr. You're still a spring chicken.
So I'm the praetor of Palava, anyway, to make something take longer than usual. And finally, we are joined by the ecumenical esoterist of everybody's got something good about them, that is Michael von Bottrell Esquire III.
That'd be a great rogue trader clone, if Michael von Bottrell III. There you go.
I was going to go with Rock's leader.
Primarch of pointless purchases for this to be.
Agreed. I do like yours,
ecumenical esoterists.
Everybody's got something good about them. No, they haven't. Some people are just complete twunts.
Yes, there you go. You heard it here first. And that would also, incidentally, very much prove in a court of law Chris's earlier statement about who was the angriest person in heresy.
I don't think I am the angriest person in heresy.
Hoisted by your own petard, sir.
Maybe in the Northern Hemisphere.
Maybe. Okay, cool. So let's get down to business.
Sorry, I got the song from Disney's Mulan in my head then. Oh, God.
It's a good song. I love it when you think people do rock covers of it. It's great as a rock song.
I'm going to have some YouTube links in a minute.
It's a bloody musical.
Maybe I can make a man out of you.
It's a great song.
It's a great film.
It's one of Disney's best songs.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking about Moana.
Oh, so a classic.
You're welcome.
Some great songs on there. Absolute belters.
They're written by
yes, Hamilton fella.
No.
Yep.
That was in Canto. That wasn't. Nope. Moana wasn't written by the New Zealand fellas.
No.
Are you thinking of the Flight of the Concorde?
Yeah.
He was in it, wasn't he?
One of them was in it, yeah.
Yeah, and he sounds like David Bowie.
Yeah.
He sounds like a
crab, little crab worm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My wife must watch that film once a week, to be fair.
It's so genius. My grandma.
Avatar.
It took ages because she was like,
is he?
Jermaine, yeah, Jermaine is in Avatar. The new one, yeah.
Okay.
He's also in Men in Black 3. He's the bad guy in that.
Yeah.
Oh, he is.
And the other one, he wrote the music for the Muppets music for the Muppets film that.
And is in Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Is he?
He's in the first Lord of the Rings thing. He plays
and
one of
the
elves.
Yeah, he's just like a background elf, and then everyone like apparently loves him. And then he was in The Hobbit as well.
All right, contrary.
All right, there you go. So we did come off the Patreon topic, and now
we're back on that.
If you like those last 5 minutes, folks, go and check out the Patreon, because that's basically
that.
What you
it's
get.
Yeah. It's us unleashed.
Plus free reign.
As opposed to when we're on the rails.
Well, we're not really two. We're not. We're kind of. Yeah, there are the rails are pretty wide.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
If we were a kid on one of those holder things, it would be made of elastic.
I think you're right there.
Come on, guys.
Zone Mortalis.
Let's go.
Chris.
Hello. I'm going to start. Okay. So, straight in. There's no
preamble.
Flapping about.
No blue.
No foreplay.
Someone got a date later or something. Jesus Christ. Right.
Mr. B, before we go any further, I think we should disclose whether this, reading this, which I have, just feels somewhat like you might have had some outside help from a, you know... deep learning algorithm.
I wrote it and then asked it to make it sound all right.
Okay.
Look, I think it's been pointed out in the past that my writing is pretty dreadful. So
I've never had a problem with it before.
I'm using a tool to try and...
some alien
robot. What you're doing is you're making our internal mental autocorrect lazy because we're not having to translate Michaelish into English.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay, go on then. Let's go.
We're staying with the zeitgeist. We're AI, centric. Mm.
Yeah.
I'm not real. I stopped turning up for recordings about 2 years ago.
It's just
AI based on the first
it's why
5 years.
That's
why you're not getting
any older. Have you seen that they're doing a new Beatles song?
They've done it.
Yeah.
So, I haven't heard it.
I don't think so, but it's they've taken all the bits that they sort of have recorded at various stages and stuck it all together. And use the same, but it's not necessarily AI. They use the same technology that they did for the Disney Plus documentary to take out all the background noise, to pick out guitars, vocals, and things, and make it so it's clean and it works as a song. It's not like AI has written it and is performing as people.
It's also like people who've
made entire careers out of being able to sound like John Lennon, and we'll never know if any of them haven't been snuck into a studio somewhere and gone, we haven't got him singing the word chocolate caterpillar. Can you just sing chocolate caterpillar like John Lennon?
They can use an algorithm to actually make it as if he's saying that.
They can now, yeah. It's scary
stuff. They don't need someone to impersonate. They can do it.
Moving on.
Just do it. Right, Zone Mortalis. Let me adjust my mic, because otherwise it'll go weird there. Instead of vast open battlefields where tanks and titans can freely unleash havoc and destruction, certain conflicts during the Age of Darkness take place on spacecraft or in cramped city spaces, highlighting the expertise of specialised infantry. Can we get AI to write all of our narrative, just out of interest?
Yeah, totally. In fact, somebody did that, actually. I think when we messed around with ChatGPT or Bard, you write me a narrative for a 3-game heresy event. And I strongly suspect, if you're out there, kids, there'll be a lot of people doing exactly that, because it ain't easy. Take it from people who've been doing it for many years. But having said that,
To clean up all the old.
That's
stuff.
What I thought. I think actually what we could do for the Christmas special this year is whether we could do an audio drama of maybe one of the events, rather than have to put on the Birmingham accent again, that actually might be heresy related.
What if
and then we could all play different parts, right? It'd be awesome.
Yeah, but Brian liked doing a voiceover after doing that documentary. Well,
you can think of another accent to do for for one of the various characters from Chris's and I's space opera.
See, the thing is, I want to put some of these notes on the website. That's why I'm trying to make.
Knocking it, Mr. B. I'm just thinking. It's just a surprise to find
something that's legible that's come out of theoretically your pen.
As Gary said, I've never had a problem with Mr. B's writing in the past. But it just made me thought, hang on a minute. I don't want to have to go through and put all the punctuation that I didn't. So
it is stuff like that. It's basically correct the punctuation, make it sound more legible, and just don't change what I've said. Just make it more presentable.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Right. Anybody, any younger listeners out there, this is why your teacher knows when you've got someone else to do your homework.
I'm just going to put this out there, Graham.
Yes.
I'm not writing a script of the.
No, we don't have to. Don't worry, I've got it all planned.
Okay, yeah. Can we start it perhaps before November? The second edition of Horus Heresy's Immortalis introduced. The second edition of Heresy introduced a set of rules known as Zone Mortalis, which are initially published in White Dwarf 477.
Oh, that's in the vault now as well. So if you're a Warhammer Plus subscriber, you can actually still get those rules if you want to look at them.
So these rules have now been updated in the new Battle of Chthonia book, expanded, and they take up 30 pages as opposed to 7 pages in White Dwarf.
That sounds like AI talking. That's the sort of thing that it would have harvested from the interweb.
I need
2,000 pages.
I'm using one that doesn't have internet access.
It's not close to the mainframe.
I was going to say that you've got in a corner somewhere.
You know those things the Dark Angels used to have that go mental occasionally. That's basically what Michael's computer room's going to turn into.
That's what they said about Skynet, Mr. B. That's what they said about Skynet.
Yeah, if Sarah Connor and Arnold rock up to your house at one point, I'm not going to stop them, Mr. B. I'm not going to stop you. Because if there's anybody out there who will accidentally trigger our species' demise by arsing about trying to get his bloody Alexa to make him a cup of tea in the morning, it's going to be you. You're accidentally going to chain together a load of AIs from the internet and create some sort of unstoppable monster.
So that skull that gets crushed at the beginning of the first Terminator, that's yours.
That'll be on you, Mr. B.
Your peeled and baked Swede getting squished.
Oh, my. Yeah. Or that play park that Sarah Connor dreams about getting nuked. That's you, Mr. B.
Brace yourself, folks. We're in for a long recording. For optimal gameplay, players are advised to engage in 1,500 to 2,500 point battles, utilizing a new and more flexible force organization chart, which allows for. I'm just going to put. Is it new insofar as it's not the same as the first edition? So Mortalis.
No, it's not the same. Because
I'm just going to make a comment that enhanced flexibility often optimizes play of multiple types.
So you can take one compulsory HQ choice and one optional. You can take 4 elite choices, they're all optional. 1 compulsory troops choice and 5 additional optional. 2 optional heavy support choices, 2 optional fast attack choices, and 1 Primarch. The limit for a Primarch is reduced in this game, I think. It's like 2,000 points, I think. Yeah, but it can't take up more than half the points.
But you can still take him.
Yeah. There are some restrictions. For example, no unit can have more than 15 models.
Which is the same as first edition.
Yeah. Dreadnoughts can be taken, but only 1 for every 1,000 points. And no automata or monstrous creatures with 8 or more wounds. The only reason I've skipped over a slight part of that, Mr. B, is because no Dreadnought's got more than 8 wounds.
At the minute, yes.
I live in the future. I live in the present, not the future.
Yeah.
This has already been out. This has already been out like 2 months. Let's not worry about what might happen in the future when we're talking about something that's already 8 weeks old.
True. We talked about Red October for 20 minutes. That's 30 years old now. So
yeah, that's true.
Right. Who's next to carry on this merry tale?
I don't know. Let's find out. Graham. I believe it's the absent brother.
Had to make a quick getaway.
Make a quick getaway. Shall I fill in for him and be nice?
Yeah.
He can learn about it in the edit. So it might appear advantageous on that then to load up on HQs, elite units, primarchs, you know, take all the hard stuff. It is important to note that there's a secondary objective in every mission which awards one victory point for each HQ or elite unit eliminated. So if you spam the HQ and elites, you're potentially giving away more victory points to your opponent. So if you fully maximize these slots, you potentially risk giving up 6 VPs, which is 1/3 of the VPs you can score from primary objectives in most missions. The terrain rules have been updated and expanded since their appearance in White Dwarf. The updates include some peculiarly worded recommendations for using the ZM floor tile set. It would appear that the writers who did that had the older card tiles from Necromunda with preset layouts, or the older Forge World resin tiles, which Chris has got in mind rather than anything else. But there are guidelines provided for constructing your own tiles as well. But the rules for terrain features and board setup are presented on separate pages, so they're not usually referenced at the same time, so you shouldn't have any hassle, really.
Ideally, no. Okay, the 3 available reactions that we had in White Dwarf, they've basically been unchanged, but what they have done is they sort of rephrased them. For example, brace reaction doesn't have you falling back off the table edge anymore. The most significant change is pretty much how the models are deployed. So it's a very different deployment. We'll go into it a bit later, but and how reinforcements access. But each of those 4 sword slots is now going to cost a different number of points, which are a limited resource at the start of the game and during each subsequent turn. And you use the points to bring your reinforcements onto the game. So you're not going to be able to deploy your entire army. So you have to deploy a couple of units. And then if you want to bring anybody else, you're going to have to pay points that you accumulate in the game later on. But we're going to do a bit more detail on that shortly.
Yeah, so you're not just dumping everything on the board and
having at normally. It. Yeah. Yeah, very cool. Okay.
You're right now. That'll be Old Man River now.
Cool. So the rulebook includes 3 core ZM missions specifically designed for a 4x4 board, as well as 2 Apex missions. So these draw inspiration from the Cophonia campaign, and they focus on the narrative elements of that. Now, while these missions can be played in any Loyalist versus Traitor game, the other is specifically designed for Thousand Sons versus Wordbearers and may be challenging to adapt for legions lacking sufficient substantial numbers of Psyker units. So haven't looked at that one myself, but that does sound like it's a more very much a narrative mission with 2 legions.
Yeah, I think it'd be very difficult to play with anybody else.
Okay, cool. Towards the end of the rulebook, you'll find a couple of additional terrain features. Mr. B's ears prick up. That are supposedly themed for Cophonian Underworld. However, these features appear generic enough to warrant inclusion into the core terrain section. So more terrain, and you don't think these are so limiting that you can only really use them if you were playing a kind of reenactment of Cophonia.
Yeah, they're not. I don't think so.
Okay. Overall, these rules represent significant improvements over those found in White Dwarf and are sure to generate engaging gameplay experiences. I know, absolutely. Particularly since Zone Mortalis has always been where the Horus Heresy shines brightest. Has it, though?
Has it?
That's
has
it? My phrasing. Yes.
Yeah,
I think it does.
Graham's like, it's got no tanks in it.
Zone
Mortalis
is rubbish.
Right? I like it up close and personal, but I'm with Graham on this one. There's armor is where the game.
I guess that would be interesting.
Well, compared to old 40K.
Yes, I agree.
I
think it was, and we've kind of gone a little bit away from that now, I guess, in some regards, particularly with the kind of super heavy tax. But it was, to me, it will always be, you know, bigger games with bigger cool stuff and lots of action going on, you know, not small snipey skirmishy games. I mean, I do like ZM, don't get me wrong, and I think there's a time and place for it, but I wouldn't say that if I was going to think about what the Heresy means in terms of the sorts of games, I would be more inclined to go for those sort of 3,000 point, you know.
Yeah, by definition, it doesn't have the scope and the kind of grandeur of...
I think it does make a nice change, though. I will say that when you play it, because you're like, oh, yeah, this is a lot of fun, actually. So, you know, I'll give it that.
Doing all of these rules and stuff, I'm like, oh, I need to get my Vigil Mortalis board finished because it just sounds great. Yeah,
you've probably got enough terrain to make a Vigil Mortalis board the size of a flipping car park already.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know.
We've at least got two sets of those tiles, those blocks.
I've got two sets of tiles.
Yeah.
So I want another two of them to make a 4x4 because it only get Vigil 1x1.
Okay.
Okay.
So I need another four of them.
Right. You've got those blocks that are at the club. We'll go with the mat. You've got the blocks at the club.
Yeah, the Ken Walls, yeah.
Yeah, so
that's to be fair. I dropped the Ken Walls.
They're really good. You can make a very quick game of ZM terrain. No bother.
Yeah, they're at the club, though. So. Anyway, right.
Key terrain rules, talking about it. Zone Mortalis introduces several rule changes, and while we won't delve into all of them here, the most important ones are primarily related to terrain. One example is when a model is partially obscured by a wall, granting it a cover save, 5+. If the obstruction is a barricade or debris, the cover save becomes 6+. Doors come in 2 sizes, up to 2-inch wide or wider than 2 inches. This size determines which models can pass through them, and the doors can open, close, or even be destroyed.
There's quite a lot of rules about doors. I mean, you know, we used to love a door back in the day. There's like pages and pages about doors and about opening them, shutting them. There's also some really cool stuff about which I do think is super thematic, is blasting your way through the doors or smashing through the doors.
Yeah. I think it's you used to be able to do that anyway. You used to be able to shoot them and stuff and attack them.
Yeah. I think if I remember rightly, they've got.
They used to be armor 12. Points.
They're armor 10 now.
Right.
And you can basically And if you do a penetrating hit, you do D3 hull points of damage to the door, rather than going on the vehicle or the building damage table and stuff. So yeah. Right. Very cool. But yeah, you can, there's lots of stuff about, I don't know if you can cover it in here later on. No, there's lots of stuff in there about,
you can control
the doors. You can, go up to a door and lock it, for example, to stop people getting through it easily. Things like that. So I really like that. I think the doors can start shut and stuff like that. So
it's taking bits out of, like Space Hulk, isn't it? And,
yeah.
You know, that's what Zone Mortalis ultimately is.
Close the blast doors. Open the blast doors. Open the blast doors. Mm. Yeah, it's all that kind of
shenanigan. Okay.
So yeah, something to consider. Okay.
When moving through debris, both regular movement and charging are reduced by 2 inches. To move vertically up one of those pesky ladders, a model can only do so if they're in contact with a terrain piece designated as a ladder, stairway, or hatch.
Good. Yeah, so before you sort of say, right, this counts as a hatch, this counts as a stairway.
Multi-tiered Zone Mortalis.
I love multi-tiered.
Game board.
So basically you build a Necromunda table and play
Heresy on. Yeah, I was going to say, that's basically it.
I mean, you can do both.
What you do is, you build a Zone Mortalis board, and then you put 4 corners on it, and then you put a Zone Mortalis board on top of that, and then you get a little step. And then you step, and then you go do 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 do. And then you go down, then you go do 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 do.
You can have both. You can have just the plain, I say plain, but the simple corridor game, and I think that's quite cool itself. And you can have the more multi-level going up and down, sorting stuff out.
Oh,
and I think that's kind of good.
I love the idea of that.
Could be interesting.
Blast and template weapons receive a +1 bonus to their wound rolls. Additionally, when using scatter dice for such weapons, if the blast mark comes into contact with a wall or door, it only scatters up to the point when the center of the template meets the wall or door. That's the same as before. The blast or template does not pass through the wall or the door. Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Just to stop anybody writing in about that and that having to end up in, Sally's happy endings.
Exactly.
That's the same as the Mark One.
Makes sense.
Because in closed spaces, template weapons are going to hurt more.
Plasma cannons, rather be cool, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
What's the Death Guard unit with not the Grave Wardens? Is it the Grave Wardens?
With the grenade launcher-y things.
Yeah,
Grave Wardens.
Yeah. They are excellent. I mean, I played them with in version 1 of Zone Mortalis with Graham, and they were just ridiculously good.
Imagine what they're now. They can move and shoot.
Yeah, exactly.
They could weapons. Move and shoot before.
They could move and shoot. They could
Eldar Grave Wardens.
Grav Falcon Grav tanks for free. And Wraith Lords, no bother.
You can't take vehicles in Zone Mortalis.
Oh, I'm sure Death Guard will find a way.
What's the massive thing? Wraith thing. The mini one.
Yeah, the Wraith Lord. Or the Wraith Guard. Wraith Guard.
The Wraith Guard has got troops, aren't they?
Wraith Guard are troops that had strength D flamers.
That's right. And then there's the Wraith Lord.
And then there's the big massive Wraith Knight.
Wraith Lords, they've been around forever, haven't they? Metal figures they were.
It used to be the Eldar Dreadnought, wasn't it?
It did.
Yeah, it was.
Dwarf 146 that first came out in.
Is that right? Wow, there you go. Anyway, they would be. So Death Guard probably got them as well now, I expect.
301 probably. Issues before the Zone Mortalis rules came out. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
There's a callback.
There's a cool thing for
your AI to pick up next time, Mr. B, and fill in some text. Okay.
Reactions are also different.
I think I've played the White Dwarf version of these, and I think these reactions are really good. Not insofar as they're really good in the same way that Return Fire is a really good reaction and it's quite devastating. They're really good insofar as they're good, but they're not overpowered, I think. And there's an aspect of them that I think wish that they'd taken into the main game. So you can only do three reactions, right? So you don't have to worry about advanced reactions. You can't do any of the Death Guard nonsense.
Nope.
And all you can do is suppress. So this is when an enemy unit completes its movement within 12 inches of you and you've got line of sight of it, this can trigger a suppress reaction during the movement phase. And that allows you to initiate a shooting attack against that unit. However, they are snapshots, to be fair. So that's still pretty cool. Snap shooting, you're not going to be quite as good at hitting, but I think that's a really great reaction. Particularly because it's in the movement phase and quite a lot of things.
Especially, you always try
and harvest the shooting phase reactions because then you can do two evades. So yeah, very good. That's Master B.
The displace reaction. I like this reaction. It is basically during the shooting phase, if your opponent declares a shooting attack against your unit, you've got the ability to move all your models in that unit a distance equal to the initiative value. After the movement, the range of the shooting attack is then measured from the new position, which means you can essentially, if you're just on the edge, move just out and the attacking player can't choose another target. So you can be like, right, lads, get away.
So you can be a proper gamey goit about that.
Yeah, but again, you can only use it once. So,
yeah,
true. Once per phase. Yeah. So you can't use it for like all your units. So,
yeah,
it's a bit like the Alpha Legion one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the event of the Space Hulk you're fighting on, engaging in an emergency landing, you can engage the brace reaction.
Brace.
Followed by the sound brace, 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 where you bend forward, put your head between your knees, kiss your butt, goodbye. Yes. In the assault phase, when an enemy declares a charge against your unit, you have the option to choose brace. By choosing brace, you must take a morale check. Failing the check causes your unit to fall back a distance of 6 inches and automatically regroup once the fallback move is completed. If the morale test is passed, you automatically pass any morale tests that are required as a result of losing an assault in the fight subphase. That's pretty strong.
That is useful. That basically makes you fearless, effectively, doesn't it?
Effectively fearless, mark. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Nice.
And even if you don't, you can potentially cause them to fail their charge.
Because you retreat.
Yeah.
Pretty
good, that one, I've got to say.
That's a good one. I like that one.
So do I. Particularly, actually you're kind of almost hoping you'd fail it if they're on like a 10 charge distance or something.
Yeah, and then you get to counter-charge them.
Do you automatically regroup, does it say?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, that's great. That is a good one. That does make it quite interesting and somewhat tactical. But yeah, you're right, Mr. B, insofar as it's once per phase. So if you're charging multiple things, you need to be kind of conscious of the order you're doing. Yeah.
And again, at the same time, when someone is, playing you, you've got the option to, mess around with them a bit by saying, right, if I do it here, they might use the brace, but I really want to charge this unit here.
Exactly. Tactics. Who would have thought it?
I know.
Yep.
Who would have thought it? Cool. Okay. So this next part, deployment, this is complicated or more complicated.
I think it's not that complicated. I think it looks more complicated than it is.
All right, if you can count to four, you're all right.
So I'm going to struggle.
Let's get things
physical.
Mm-hmm. So,
jiggy with it.
Mm-hmm. At the start of the game, unless otherwise noted, you have six deployment points.
Six.
Six.
Not five. Nor not four. Three being way off, and seven two is being just right silly. Out.
To decide on who to deploy at the start, and usually you get two more points at the end of each turn.
My okay. enemy, for being naughty in my sight, shall snuff it.
We should definitely have a competition. Yeah, we shall not quote our quotes and see if anybody gets all of them right, like sort of Easter eggs.
Either that, or we do a gurgle box type thing where we do a live watch along on. Right.
Might be going back to like World Cup. Was it 98 World Cup where all the footballers were like trying to put song lyrics into?
They were Wham interview. Song lyrics. I believe.
Careless
whispers from me, Gareth Southgate, I believe said. Yes. Anyway, go on.
Since we should do an episode where we just try and choose a band and get as many song titles from that band. Actually, we've done that before at some point.
I'm sure we have. Yeah, we have.
Maybe we should do it again.
We did do a Metallica one, I think.
Yeah. Right. So yeah.
Yeah, but no one before me will be doing it, so I got no freaking lyrics in.
Yeah.
Well, you should have decent music taste then.
I do have decent music taste, but no one told me we were doing
Cam,
it.
Come on. Depending on what force slot the unit occupies, the point cost to deploy it is different.
Yeah.
HQs take up four of your shiny 6 points. Elites, and that's per you model as well. It's not per all your HQs go down for 4 points. It's per unit. So
per HQ choice.
I have to read my list.
Graham's got three HQ choices.
They're never coming on the board.
They're never turning up.
Well, you can't. You can only have two HQ choices.
What if you take allies, though?
You can't take allies.
I think you can.
The only way to take allies would be if you take a Pravian and then you're allowed to give him a robot bodyguard.
Right.
It's not strictly allies.
Or is it Forge Lord that you're... No, Forge Lord, you're allowed to do that, sorry.
Forge Lord has Thanatars, hasn't it? That's not allies.
That's like a... command squad that they can get.
Yeah, it is.
The Forsall chart does not allow for allies.
Ah, see, yes, of course it doesn't, because that's all you get.
So Graham's lost the list challenge already because he's just realised.
Well, he might be going to rewrite it just in a second.
Be back in a moment.
video format working against you here.
Such a good. I know, right? Now I can't blag it anymore.
Right, now.
Such a good
now
list.
We can put that bit of footage up. The moment Graham realised.
Oh, yeah, you can see wrong. That.
Oh, he's the panic in the eyes.
He's going to become a gif, isn't he?
He is. I'm sure this is where
Greg will probably write in from his hospital bed. Actually, you can take allies because blah, blah, blah.
Bloody what do you mean, right in from his
I
hospital
can't
bed?
See it.
He's not well. In hospital again?
He's been in hospital for 3 or 4 weeks.
So he's back in hospital for an operation.
Yeah. Oh. And we wish him
I thought he'd be quiet on social media.
Yeah,
he's been watching the Ashes, so.
So it's
a cunningly timed Skype to watch the cricket.
I don't think so. I think he's actually genuinely unwell.
Oh, no, he's genuinely in the hospital.
Let's soon break.
Right, so HQ's 4 points per choice. Elites, 2 points per choice. Troops, 1 point per choice. Fast attack, 2 points per choice. Per choice? Yeah, that's how you say it. Do you know when you say a word enough times and you just go, is that how that's pronounced?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, just, heavy, they just lose all meaning, don't they?
Heavy support, 3 points per selection. And if you're feeling Billy Big Balls, a Primark.
I was not feeling Billy Big Balls. That's a scurrilous rumour.
A Primark is 8 of your shiny points. So you can't put him down turn one.
You can put him down in turn four. No, four. Five.
Five.
If it
best
gets to five.
Best case scenario.
Yeah. Zowie.
Any points after the initial phase are retained and what? And accumulate.
And what?
Again, a word is...
Yeah, definitely Mr. B's lexicon's being stretched to the very limit here.
With the and accumulate with the points. Don't highlight it. Accumulate with the points at the end of each turn. This accumulation allows players to deploy reinforcements during subsequent turns. In larger games, it may not be possible to deploy all units initially. That is a deliberate design choice by the studio. The design encourages players to approach deployment and reinforcements in a different manner compared to a standard game. I quite like this whole idea.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't mind the idea of seeing it in a normal game.
Yeah, it stops people cool. put, you know, you can't put 5 dreadnoughts in 2,000 points.
Well, it doesn't stop you putting it in the list. It just means you can't put them on the board at the same time.
Yeah. No, you can't put them in the list because you can't. You can only have one dreadnought full 1,000 points.
Yeah, combine that with this, that like, yeah, you can have a Primarch, but you've got to have. He's not going to. He's got 2 turns to do something max.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, which is not worth spending 400 points on.
I suppose it depends on the size of the. I mean, if you had a big old 2,000 points, maybe, but.
And again.
Well, the spare mind that I think the missions can override the number of points you get to the start.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there may be that, or even make it less. Who knows?
Meanwhile, Alpha Legion are going, yeah, but I just deployed a troops choice and, here's a Primarch.
It's some fun and games for you. And anyway, so, so reinforcements are introduced onto the battlefield during the beginning of any turn, starting from turn 2 onwards, and along the table edge, any table edge, I believe.
Reinforcements are on any table edge.
So you can outflank, come in behind, screw up somebody's cleverly thought out deployment because the people could be coming on all over the gaff. So pack
which is good because I think if they had to come on from your table edge with a 4x4 board and only potentially 5-4 turns, they might not get into action.
Pack those scatters. Because you're definitely going to be needing them.
Does just funny what the erase rite does? Just a thought. Carry on.
Go on.
The gold boys might be coming out the loft.
I think so, don't you?
Chris might not be selling his Zorn Mortalis table.
Just so we're clear, the Gordon boys have never been anywhere near they are under my bed at all times, always within at least 18 inches of my body at any point.
Nice.
Within fumbling range.
Yeah.
Very cool. Cool.
Who's next?
I'm still going on about it, I think.
So, go on then. Keep going on about it.
Yeah. The turn. So, yeah. Interestingly enough, it's important to note that if a unit is not deployed by the end of the game, it's not considered destroyed. Interesting. So, yeah. You don't get any points for things that, well, you would do normally in the game if you didn't bring it on in time or whatever, it was considered destroyed. The turn of deployment is determined by the winner of the strategic advantage role, who then chooses their battlefield edge. Players take it in turns to deploy units in an alternating fashion, starting with the player who does not possess a strategic advantage. So if you choose the side, you don't go first. The other person goes first. You don't deploy first. They deploy first, and then you take it in turns to deploy. I don't know, is it the order, zero deployment order? Or is it just...
It's alternative, so he'll deploy a unit, you deploy a unit, he'll deploy a unit.
But it's not like you have to deploy HQ first, or...
No, it's whatever you choose.
Cool.
You could just put on one troop.
Yeah, nice.
And save all your points for, reacting.
Primarch, yeah. Now Zone Mortalis terrain. I can see why Mr. B was keen to do this. Because here we are. There's a list of different bits of terrain with weird names.
That. You can buy them.
There it is. Yeah. The last show had all the new terrain, but he'll squeak it in. So, in this edition.
This is justified because, it needs terrain. Sure? It needs terrain.
Does it? You sure? Right. So in this edition, Zon Mortalis is played on a 4x4 board without exceptions. In the previous editions, there was no set size. Most people played on a 3x3 or 4x4, but now in Heresy 2.0, 3x3 is verboten. It's not allowed.
I'm sure there were some 6x4 missions in 1.0.
playing Zon Mortalis on 3x3, cooler 20 days.
Cool. So war is over for you, Tommy.
Yes, basically, yeah. So there are now lots of terrain options that you can go for, with the cheapest being Games Workshop Boarding Actions terrain set. Is it, though?
Is it, yes.
Because I'm pretty sure I could put you, if I'd known this was in here, I could have linked you an MDF 4x4 Necromunda board for £66.
Oh, that might be cheaper than
that's considerably cheaper than 110, and I'm not a great genius mathematician. But still,
neither
am I. And my
MDF boards.
And now this stuff looks good. I'll link it.
No, there are a decent number of.
In fact, I think Graham's about to. Mention it later on. Actually,
am I?
But from a GW perspective, the board in actions terrain set, which can be had from Element Games for £110.50, Michael is apparently planning to buy it later this month to finish off his personal plastic ZM board. Radio. That set gets you a pair of 704mm by 607mm Y card gaming boards. That's not even like standard. That's not even A2. I don't even what that is. That's plus a huge set of walls and doors that represent the interior of a space vessel. Michael's personal. I don't know why you put my personal plan when you're.
All right,
want
sorry.
Me to read this bit.
I was going to read
AI
it.
AI is tripped up.
AI is tripped up. Yeah.
I was going to read the lot, but it got a bit. What's the word?
Too much like hard work.
You weren't sure who was in your control schedule anymore? For the evening. Did you have to nip off to pay the builders?
The collective was taking over at that point in time.
Yeah, I love it. It's just tool use.
I thought I was going to deal with this whole section myself when I originally wrote it, and then it became a bit like, no, actually, that's
Was it number six or Sharon you were busy having a conversation with while you were...
Is your AI name Licutus or...
Yes.
Resistance is not futile at all.
Shall I talk about the TT combat board?
Not until after Chris has talked about the plastic ZM.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Sorry, I was...
Listen, I'm trying to do a list at the same time, so bear that in mind.
I was looking into Michael bashing for a minute or two.
Then. I was in terrain mode. I was looking at things on Etsy. Right, there is also Plastic Zone Mortalis Senior Games Workshop, a range which includes the following: platforms and stairs, columns and walls, underhive sector, floor tile set, gang strong point, underhive market. All at varying prices, coming to you from £32.50 at Element Games, all the way up to £165.75 from Element Games.
Yes.
Ouch.
Yes.
The Underhive Sector, that's pretty jazzy, though, I think, isn't it?
The Underhive Sector's really good.
Where's that one? That one's not in the list.
This is.
I probably should have made it the bottom one, because it contains a gang stronghold and a bunch of platforms and walls and columns. And it's basically the stuff that was in... Dark Uprising for Necromunda, plus the gang stronghold.
Nice. Yeah, a couple of walls, a couple of buildings. Jolly good fun.
Yeah,
oh, cool.
I really want the market. I really need to get a market.
There is quite a lot in there. I do quite like that. 165.
Hey, look, it's the table. It's all you need. So,
yeah.
That's the thing you got to think is it's £170, but it's, you know, a good chunk of the gaming space you're going to require.
Oh, it's a huge, huge chunk.
So
that and a mat, and you'd be, because I do love Necromunda.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, you could definitely double up, couldn't you?
Cool. Well, yeah, that's what mine is, all doubled up stuff for.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Tell me, Graham.
We know you
tell
like
me.
To double up.
Tell me about the MDF ranges that are available.
So TT Combat do an excellent range of MDF. The one that's caught Mr. B's AI's eye. Is the Iron Labyrinth terrain?
That's the one I was thinking of.
It's nice, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, £72 Ultima Complex is good, but I don't think that's a full 4x4. I think it's maybe 3x. Yeah, maybe you spread it out with a few nice open areas, but I want to supplement that with a few other bits and bobs as well.
Yeah, you'd feel guilty for not giving Games Workshop some money, wouldn't you, Michael?
No, I want the TT Combat stuff. To be honest, I just add this the Death Quadrant set that has
Death Quadrant were a good deep metal band.
Yeah, they were in the
Sepultura vein, from what I remember.
They were from Paraguay, I believe, where it's Sepultura from Brazil.
Them and Iron Labyrinth, I think they did a few tours.
Central America's finest sort of thrash metal contribution. Yeah. Never really had the same effect.
But I would
I believe
I'd
they.
Add,
And we're actually linked to the to the
didn't they release their first demo on Escobar Records, which got them in a bit of trouble?
That was a rumor.
Just a rumor?
Yeah. They were I think they were part of the communist uprising at some point. I think a couple of the band members
because they had that guy who was singing on the second album. It was somebody Noriega. That was the one. he left rather suddenly, was replaced by that American guy.
Somewhat stereotypical by saying that people from South America are A, involved in drug cartels, B, dictators. I mean, come on. What is the matter with us? I'm going to call it out. We need to do better. Stop perpetuating these stereotypical things. Yes.
Not my fault their tour bus was called the Belgrano.
See? What can you do? What can you? This is what we have to work with.
There's going
to
be a memo. There's going to be a memo, Rob.
It's going to be a strictly worded memo.
I'm going to draft it.
Yeah, about...
Sorry, Michael can edit that bit out.
No.
No, he can't.
He's had enough. He's like, right, well, if you're going to go on a tangent, I'm going to do some... His arm's moving rather quickly. I'm not quite sure what's going on there, actually. He's angry.
This doing video was always going to be a dangerous thing. And now we've found out why. Mr. Boy.
I'm painting some orcs.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We've all used that line.
Is that what you call it these days? Yeah. I'm painting some orcs.
They're cruel.
Let's get him a goblin green and painting some orcs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Right. No, I would supplement it with the Death Squadron.
I hope if you're writing me a note, you're writing yourself one based on that last comment.
I've got to say that was a bit. I mean, yeah, it's not D&D night.
No, when you paint, sometimes you flick paint onto the wall. It just happens.
Of course. Anyway, TT Combat do a lovely range of MDF, which does look super cheap. I've got this. I don't know how much you would need to cover a. But I mean, the Ultima Complex, like say £72.
That's going to get most of your way there.
Is that going to cover? How much is that going to cover? Yeah, that probably.
I reckon you'd do a 3x3. Yeah. But I'd add the Death Quadrant because it's got the extra. It's the same kind of stuff, but it adds a couple of extra levels. You can have a little bit with.
For an extra £18, I'd probably just buy 3 Death Quadrants.
Yeah.
True. I mean, that would work as well.
Some cool stuff. Anyway, definitely worth a look at TT Combat's. And you can go to No Cut Studios and get a map just to finish it off.
Or even Game Mat EU and get the the Hive Walls that we have a set of at the club.
They're very good.
I've got two sets of them.
Yeah, very cool. So anyway, that's
it. You can't make a board with one set, we discovered. You need two.
So over to you, Mr. B.
Yeah, I got a table. So does Chris, but I don't think Chris has started painting yours yet, have you?
Most of mine, apart from two tiles, are all in the boxes sealed in which they came in.
Actually, talking about sealed boxes, did I tell you that guys to work with at Ubisoft had the Forge World Terrain?
The redoubt and stuff?
Yeah, the redoubt and the turbo laser thing, those big tiles.
Yeah,
he had a full set of those, and he was like, "How can I sell these?"
And you were like, £20.
Yeah, no, he knew. I was like, the thing is, who do you buy? Who's going to buy them? Because they're so, you've got to post them somewhere, and it's going to cost you.
Fortress walls that Forge World used to do.
If only you knew a group of people that occasionally needed terrain for things.
Yeah, if but only. these are. I think the last set that went on there went for the same price as a car. If you look on eBay,
you buy them off him for the price of half a car, then put them on eBay, buy a full car, and then buy the.
I actually have a Realm of Battle board here, right next to me, and I want to get rid of it, but I cannot find anyone who is willing to take it off me.
Yeah, they are a bit unwieldy, the Realm of Battle boards, aren't they?
Is that the old?
It's the hills, the valley.
Because the problem is the dice hit them and they go all over the shop.
It's a great set of terrain. It's just I can do better with a mat.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, they were good at the time.
They're good if you want to. If the person on the other side of the board is really annoying, you just want to roll a dice and sort of get them under the chin.
We know that.
I even have two extra.
You've got form in that area, but you don't usually worry about bouncing it off something first.
I've got finesse in my game now. That's what it is.
That's true. Yeah, it's like, I didn't mean to accidentally hit you in the face with that.
It's like the veterans at Wimbledon who just pull out all the trick shots
rather than.
So I've actually got two extra flat tiles in there as well. So it's an 8-tile setup. So
Got you. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, right. Okay, yeah, so my plan for the board has sort of been to create a living underhive city. I'll put some pictures up, but it's based around the Dark Uprising set from Necromunda, mm-hmm. plus a bunch of the Sector Mechanica stuff. So it's like the stuff on the legs with the walkways and stuff, and the vats and stuff to sort of add more variety of terrain, because I think just corridors on its own looks a bit dull.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you on that.
I've got some armored containers that I can pop into one little tile with some galvanic servo haulers. You've got a working area. I've got a repressor, and because it stopped being good for Sisters of Battle, I ended up painting it as an Enforcers color scheme, and just sort of had that so I can just pop it there. So Enforcers were obviously fighting the Heretics, and they ended up abandoning their repressor. Plenty of thermic conduits and regulators and reactors, so it looks a nice, busy living environment, not just corridors, there's lots of little sections. But my next step is adding the boarding terrain, because I want to create like service corridors at the back, like really rusty extra corridor areas for different style, and then get a gang stronghold and a marketplace. And I think that'll be looking quite good, especially with two more sets of tiles to make it actually, you know, tiled up. And I think I would like to do that by the end of the year, really. But I will put up some pictures of my zone mortalis that I have at the minute. I think it's quite good.
So my plan for mine is, or was, or whichever one you want to choose, is to make it kind of monastery-ish.
That's a good idea.
So it's all, I think, because I came back from Italy and then bought it, so I think that's why it was in my mind. But marble floors, and then sandstone.
Didn't you do the test scheme with the
wet wipes? Just couldn't get the marbling quite right, but that will still be the thing that I use. I do want to use some of the, have some, because I've got the flat square blocks as well. They're not all wall sections. So I do want to have some of those spaces laid out with some of the GW, like the cranes and stuff like that, and use one of the, so I've got a couple of Xiphons that are a bit, had a bad day one time. So I might use a couple of those as sort of terrain pieces for that. But yeah. Mine's, it's all going to be sort of monastery-ish, because I thought you see a lot of them online and they're all industrial looking. Whereas I wanted I want to get away from that.
There's an interesting bit in the end and the death. That Michael was going back to what Michael was saying about like just corridors looks a bit boring. There's a comment that Old Person makes in Ending the Death about the fact that the corridors all look the same in the palace.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was a deliberate, conscious design decision by Big Papery. So you can, you know, if everyone's like, oh, it's just they all look the same, it's like, yeah, it's fine. Dan Abnett says the palace all looks the same.
Yeah,
so
no, it's deal just, with it. I would never criticize anybody for making one that's corridors, because, yeah, a lot of the ships in the books, it's like, yes, we have lots of, especially around the edges, we have lots of winding corridors to make
and
it.
There's that one from, they talk about in the Vengeful Spirit, that's literally just 5 kilometers long in a straight line with nothing coming off it, where literally you could just have a 6x4 table with nothing on it and go, the edge of the long edge of the table is a wall, and this is the this is the board, and we're fighting on the Vengeful Spirit. But it would be quite a boring game. I mean, Graham, I'd love it, because there'd be nothing to impede with the shooting.
Yeah, but cover saves here.
Yeah.
Right.
But yes, the possibilities are endless. What's that from? Advert's that from?
Possibilities are endless.
Possibilities are endless.
Do not know.
I'm trying to look for the pictures. So I did post an Instagram post with sort of my Zone Mortalis work in progress a while ago, and I'm trying to find out where it is.
I think the good thing about the terrain now is because you've got those two games, you can use it in really easily. You can, and Necromunda's model count is minimal, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you haven't got to make a big investment to get lots of usage out of the tiles now, whereas before
you really had to like ZM.
The only problem is the doors don't cross over. into the new, from the new ones to the old ones. But that's fine. That's okay.
Honest.
That's okay. I don't need doors. Doors.
They've only written a massive new set of rules for doors, but it's all right. You don't need doors.
Yeah, I don't need doors.
We should probably get some doors printed for you on a printer, like, you know, a 3D printer type thing.
Chris is doing a Zone Mortalis version of the Inn at Bree that has both big folk and hobbit sized doors.
Nice. Yeah, but I've just sent you pictures of a link to Instagram with my with a 2x2 section of my Zone Mortalis board that I currently have.
It is very nice indeed, my friend.
So it's just, as I said, trying not to be just corridors.
Yeah.
I'll put the pictures on the screen, but yeah, it's like trying not to be just corridors because I find that quite dull and boring.
Yeah, fair enough.
And it's like you've got a bit more openness as well, which I think is needed, but also cover. That sounds stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I like the confined nature of it. I think that's the thing that always attracts me the most to it.
Oh, yeah, I like it. It's just I don't think that you necessarily have corridors as the confinement. You could have, you know, containers.
Yeah.
I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I think a stack of reactors that you have to move around.
I think you've got the option to make, like I say, rather than just have it like corridor shooter stuff, you could make it into something far more interesting.
Yeah. There's a lot of narrative scope, isn't there?
There is, I think so. You know, you could have the whole reason for the battle taking place, and you know, you could set the scene beforehand and have it very narrative focused.
We had a mission. One of our missions was you had to bust someone out of a prison cell.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was the second to last mission we wrote for Calamity of Legends a couple of years ago. And that would be, that's simple. I mean, doors as well. So you've got the door thing, but that was quite good fun to, although corridors were involved, but at least you had to get somewhere, you had to do something. And
Actually, in fact, when you're saying there are two games that need the type of thing, actually, there are three. 40K has its whole boarding action mode.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's your other podcast. Get away with that. No,
40K has its own...
You've got your other mates for that.
If you're not talking to me about the new Indominus Terminators, I'm not interested.
No, but generally, it has its own Zone Mortalis mode boarding actions.
I can see his mouth moving, but all I can hear is...
boring actions, you say?
Boring actions.
How many books do you need to do a boring action? 10? 12? 15?
I think it's 5.
Or has the meta changed since you even mentioned the sentence and it's completely out of date anymore and nobody does it anymore?
There's a new edition, I was going to say. There's a single upload on the website coming, but no, right. There's basically now 3 systems that use Zone Mortalis style terrain.
Ah, cool.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Good for them. Getting some use out of it.
You could also play Blood Bowl, Death Bowl.
Yeah.
Dungeon Bowl.
Wow, clunky. Okay, let's go back a bit.
Andrew, cool. But did you see they're doing a street version of Blood Bowl?
Yes.
No, I like that.
Yes, and...
Is it Blood Bowl, but the last 3 is just BAL? Because like in futsal, it's always
F-U-T-S-A-L. Gutter Bowl.
I mean, we won't mention it because the 40K players will be complaining that they don't have a Blood Bowl team they can use next. But, you know.
Nice.
What is next? Ooh.
This challenge.
Frantically tries to...
Straight into it. Hi, guys. Chris here. I'm here with the Warlord Titan and her crew of the Argent Monarch. Say hello! Perhaps I'll stand a bit further away next time. But anyway, we're here because the Princeps was a bit sad that the Argent Monarch looked like every other Titan on the field. Isn't that right? So we gave them all the details of Battlebling, an online web store where you can get all the bits and pieces that you need to make your Titans stand out, doing alternative weapon options, alternative bases, heads, everything you need to make your Titan that little bit different from the one you're about to Volcano Cannon. Well, someone found it funny.
So why not visit Battlebling for all of your little updates and all your little tweaks that you want to make for your Warlord, Reaver, or Warhound Titans for Adeptus Titanicus. And that's not all they do, but it's certainly worth checking out. Wouldn't you agree? Just Google Battlebling today, and that'll take you to Etsy for all of your bits and pieces.
Idioms, section. Then you feel free. Mm,
that's your thing.
Who's introducing the section? It is...
It's Graham. I'm shutting this baby down, apparently.
So, once again, we lug our Terminator armor through the breach in the side of the Space Hulk and unleash hell upon each other. This is the section of the show that is the... probably the only bit that people listen to, is our list challenge. So in this particular thing, we will each of us submit a list. Today's theme of choice being Zone Mortalis. And we shall try to justify, first of all, how much fun this would be to play against and what it would be like to play. So kind of two criteria. First of all, how good and interesting it is to play as you using it. And secondly, how interesting and fun it would be to play against. The second criteria, the hotly contested battlefield effectiveness. So would this list be win at all costs, shenanigans, and blow all challenges away? Or would it be something a bit more fun and less terrifying? And finally, we'll be into the realm of cost. So if you wanted to replicate these armies today, how much of your English pounds would it cost you? So... without further ado, who would like to throw their collective hat into the ring?
Okay, I'll go. I'm going to go first. I rarely go first, and I'm going to get it out of the way.
All right.
So you can keep your power armor, as far as I'm concerned. There's no place for it in this man's game. Not anymore. Not since Imperium came out. So I have gone Custodes for my Zone Mortalis list.
All right. So you're saying get rid of power armor, but using Custodes who use a customized power armor.
I think you'll find yours has got a 2+ armor save, 3+ armor save. Mine's got a 2+ armor save. That's a whole plus one.
So with your 1500 points, sorry, I should have mentioned it's 1500 points. What three figures are you taking?
Well, do you know what? Actually,
no, I think they could get quite a decent.
It's 8, 12, 15, 18, 19, 20 models.
That's more than I've got in 3,000 points.
I've taken less than that in 3,000 points in this army in the past. Okay. So here we go. Let's get things
rolling. The crack is you're limited to mostly infantry. With
yeah, weapon. I mean, I could take a dreadnought if I want to. But I don't need to. Shield captain. I'm going for it.
Okay.
Shield captain with meridian blades.
So let's. While you do this, we're going to tot up your points total. Okay.
My points total.
I mean,
tell us how many points each unit is.
Deploy. So you've got four.
Okay.
Points.
This is four points to deploy a shield captain
HQ.
Yeah, with meridian blades, so he can do lots of different things. With those meridian blades, and he will roll solo.
When you say lots of different things, you need to be somewhat more specific. For those
To be fair, this character is going to kill everything.
Let me tell you what meridian blades do.
Please.
For the uninitiated, let me just find them momentarily.
Let's have the stat line of the shield captain while we're there. So
I can look at one thing at a time.
Okay, fair enough.
Which one thing do you want me to tell you
first? So let's start with the stat line for a shield captain. Obviously, previously, they used to be somewhat fearsome.
Hang on.
They still are.
Okay. Let me just save that picture so I can come back to it in a second. So I didn't realize I have to do a full precision breakdown of everybody's stat line.
Well, of course you are. How can I make
it? When have we ever done that in the past?
But we do it all the time.
No, we don't.
Well, I do, because I'm...
If I'm honest, I don't listen.
Well, that's a surprise. Movement for a man who's never voted for me ever.
Yeah, right. I voted for you. I very clearly remember voting for you at least once.
In 4 years.
Probably to stop one of the others getting a point to win.
Exactly.
Strategic voting. The thing, okay. The thing that I always bear in mind
when I'm people Dunny on the wall.
Yeah, it is a rotten barrel.
Rotten barrel.
And I cast 16,500 votes every day of the week. I watched the episode just two nights ago, in fact. Right, Shield Captain. He's 200 of your finest points.
Okay.
He has weapon skill 6, ballistic skill 5, strength toughness 5, wounds 3, initiative 5, attacks 5. Oof. Leadership 10, 2 plus armor save.
Nice.
And he's got a 5 up invulnerable save.
Okay.
He doesn't have a whole thingamajigger.
3 plus like I used to have or whatever with the shields.
I mean, he could take a shield if he wants to, but that's not how this guy rolls because he's got meridian swords and they are two-handed weapons, so he can't take a shield at the same time. Because, you know. So Meridian Blades, I've got 3 modes of operation.
Cool.
And he chooses one every time. So he can do Raptor Spreads Its Wings, which is a melee rampage 3. So that gives him 8 attacks.
Yep.
When he's outnumbered.
When he's
outnumbered. Bear in mind he counts as 2 or 3 models, 3 models.
He's bulky.
So they're all bulky.
Very bulky, yeah.
Yeah. So... But more often than not, he's going to roll solo. He's going to outnumber. He's going to be outnumbered.
He's going to roll solo. Okay.
Yeah. He can do a measured strike, which is strength 10, AP 1, instant death. I can't remember what measured strike does. I think it tells you somewhere or another. But
that's got to be a one shot deal, like one attack at that strength.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. Just
Sounds familiar.
And then hand cuts the clouds, which is. Plus 1 strength, AP 2, murder strike 4 plus.
Which is probably your default, isn't it?
Yeah. So he's got... Well, he
5
can do...
attacks, strength 6, AP 2. Murder strike on 4 plus, instant death on 4 pluses.
Yeah.
So, that'll do it. 200 points, that's not bad.
No, and the meridian swords are free. So, but the main thing is... he doesn't pay any extra points for them. He just swaps it out for his spear.
Better than Valdor?
It depends what weapon you give him.
Okay, fair enough.
But as I will bring up on the next show when I've had time to actually write my notes out on the sucking of
joy
out of the game
and flavor.
Yeah. But he can do enough that when he's on his own, he gets the extra 3 attacks when he's outnumbered. So at least if he gets mobbed, he's going to be able to do enough to. Sort of cut his way through anything. If he comes up against the dread, he's got the strength 10 instant death, so it'll do D3 wounds.
I would do the other one with the instant, so I would use the instant death one, not the strength 10 one. Strength 6, I suppose strength 6, you're going to be wounding him on 6s.
Yeah. But
or 5s. But then they would be instant death.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, he's got enough that he can do. He's not worried about anything, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
So that's why I've taken him. My second HQ choice.
So we're now up to 8.
Yep. That's right, but I haven't got to deploy. I'm not planning to deploy everything. Well, I could exactly.
But you could deploy one of those.
I can deploy one thing.
One turn.
I think for this one, for battlefield effectiveness, I think we should sort of tell our intended ideal deployment.
Sure.
As well, because that makes sense.
We normally ask, you know, what the plan of attack is. So yeah, let's do that.
So my second HQ choice is a Caledius assassin.
Oh, Caledius.
Because polymorphing.
Okay. Yep.
You can't shoot it, charge it, or do any kind of reaction to it until it makes a shooting attack.
Right.
So it can melee you to death, and you can't do shit all about it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because the rules
literally
says...
You want to live like common people.
At any point in the battle, once a unit with the polymorphine has made a shooting attack, including during a reaction, then the polymorphine has no further effect. It doesn't say any attack, just says shooting attack. So that's going to run around.
That seems like a bit of an oversight. That basically means that they can just tie you up in close combat and just... So you could get a dreadnought and just throw that at him. So he would just sit there because you can't attack him.
What's Sid doing? Stabbing Jeff? I don't know. It must be between them. Let's leave them to it.
Reads thing in book.
Okay, I'll do a screenshot of it if you wish and send it over to you. to make your life easier.
I can't believe that's, because otherwise that would be
page 170 of the Liber Imperium book. Polymorphine, a unit composed entirely of models with a polymorphine, may not be targeted for a shooting attack, charge, or reaction of any kind by any enemy unit.
Oh, yeah, shooting attack, charge. So it can't be charged. So if you charge them, they can attack.
Yeah. That's what I mean, though. So you, but you can't interact with it until it interacts with you.
But it can't do anything to anybody else.
Yeah, it can, because if it doesn't shoot the other person.
Yeah, but then it would be charging. It's not if it's charged.
I know it, when it's in combat, you can hit it.
Yeah.
That I appreciate.
They can basically
but
just get
when it goes
you
in combat,
without...
and it kills whatever it's in combat with, it can walk out of combat, and it's still invisible.
Yeah.
Can't be shot if he hasn't shot. Yeah, no, I agree.
And it can't be charged by the opponent either.
It cannot be charged, but looking at that, it can't be all reacted to. So, yes, you would have to basically initiate. But if it's not doing anything, then what's the point, if you see what I mean?
What do you mean if it's not doing anything?
Well,
it's
if you still, have...
It's,
so,
it's
I get
stabbing
what you're
all your guys.
You would have to charge something.
I don't know what else you want it to do.
Well, no, because you would have to charge something, right?
Yeah.
Well, you may die in that encounter.
Yeah, I might do.
But yeah,
it's
if you don't,
it is an assassin.
Well, I'm not going to put it against something that I don't want it to go against. I have all the control about what attacks it. Ultimately, I can put it in front of you, and you can't do anything about it.
No,
you can
I agree,
use it to block line of sight to his snazzy shield captain further down the corridor, and you can't see him because
it can run around the tunnels and murder to its heart content until it does.
I mean, yeah, that would be on the assumption that everything it comes up with it. Can kill. So which one was it?
Okay, so initiative 6, 4 attacks, weapon skill 5. There's very few things. It's got a phase sword.
What is it? Which one is it? Sorry, mate. The Calidus.
Calidus, yeah.
So it's got a 4 plus save, so
yeah,
it's going to be anybody with a chain axe is going to rip him a bit.
That's invulnerable only.
Yeah. Oh, is it 4 plus invul?
Yeah,
that would make sense. But it's still a 4 plus.
Sure.
And he would be going in on his own. Anyway, if you think that's a good move, then I'm good. I'm good with that.
I think for a thing in zone A, it's a themey thing to have in the list.
I can't disagree with you there.
And also, I just love the idea of it running around murdering things and not being able to be attacked in return. Or not being able to...
Be shot at or charged,
yeah. Because it's only when you make that shooting attack. So, in the Neural Shedders...
You just don't make the shooting
attack. So you just don't make a shooting attack, yeah.
No, you wouldn't, you're right. And again, that's exactly it. And you could then, I guess, sneak around the board finding your attack opportunity.
So it does. So phase shift is the sword special rule. And 6 plus, the target automatically suffers a wound with no save whatsoever against it.
Yeah. Still fishing for 6 is mine, but yeah, it's cool. It's a cool idea.
Right. Okay. That's where we're at for them. So, my first elite choice, my only elite choice, is a 3-man Heteron squad. 2 with Paragon swords and shields, and 1 with a pair of Solarite talons.
Ooh.
So Solarite talons are strength 5, AP 2, shred. And he's got a pair of them, so he gains 2 extra attacks.
AP 2 as well.
Yeah.
And they have the same rule as power, or whatever they call it.
Lightning claws.
Lightning claws.
What do you mean to have the same rule as lightning claws?
You said you get 2 attacks.
Yeah, you get plus 2 attacks for a pair of them, yeah.
Right, wow. So how many attacks does that give a Terran Guard? 5?
That gives him... Let's have a look. Terran Guard squad. That'll give him 6 attacks.
Okay.
He's going for the battlefield effectiveness this week,
strength,
isn't he, folks?
Strength 5, AP 2.
And there's 3 of them.
And it's only one of them that's got those.
Yeah.
The other 2 have got Paragon swords and shields.
Cool.
Then we're on to... my first troop
Paragon
choice.
Blades are 25 points each.
They are indeed, yeah.
So right, power talons, not bad at 15 points a go.
No, they're cheap, but I've...
2 of them, 15 points, that's great.
My guys, I like the sword and shield look for the Heteron Guard.
What does the Palladium shielding.
Gives them a plus one invulnerable save. So they've got a four plus.
Four plus.
So a two plus,
okay.
Four plus.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
Which is why the two of them have got the shields to make them a bit more survivable. A three-man sentinel squad, so they've all got shields, and they all have a single talon. So again, strength 5, AP 2, because they can't take spears, because they're sentinels. It's kind of the best cheapish weapon they can take.
So that's what. So right, power talon, is that?
Yeah.
Which is the one we just talked about.
Which is the one we just talked about, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're 10 points apiece individually, so.
Go on.
Nice. Then we come on to two Guardian Spear squads. We've got four men in each one. There's one Guardian Axe, so that is plus 3 strength, AP 2, unwieldy. So that makes them strength 8. Makes it a power fist, basically.
Okay. But
it's a power fist you can shoot with. Because it's got a bolter on the top, like all the others have. Two Adrasites, which are
instant death
and gets hot, and one Pyrethite as well, just for when something meltery needs to be dealt with.
Okay.
And then to finish this off nicely, four Sagittarum as a heavy support choice.
The shooty dudes.
Shooty dudes, yeah, because there's four of them. They're basically carrying around four shot heavy bolters, 24 inch range, and they've all got a one shot Adrathic Destructor. So four instant death shots coming at you. Cleopatra.
Just like Cleopatra.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
That is my 1,500 points. So smallish units and. There's enough there.
What's the elite's? How much is that? How many points is an elite?
Two. It's the total is 17 points. I would need.
Okay, got it.
Put this all down. I've done the maths.
17. Okay.
But yeah, this is basically.
So what would be the plan?
A headhunter squad is ultimately what this is. This is a detachment sent to kill. You know.
Yeah, it's a kill team.
Yeah, basically. With the assassin in there for some sort of sneakiness that needs to be done, that even the golden boys aren't necessarily aware of.
Okay.
Go to this ship, kill this bloke.
Yeah, right. Pretty much.
So what would you be putting down first?
What would I put down first? I would put the assassin down. Would I put the assassin down first? Out of the HQs, I would put the assassin down first.
Because that's going to be 4 points, though, isn't it?
Just for giggles. But I'm just thinking. What I would actually put down first of everything would be my troops choices and the Sagittarum squad. If I can, 1, 2, 3. One, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. So, yeah, I would put my three troop choices and my Sagittarum squad down first for my 6. And then the Heterons, the assassin and the shield captain to come in. As and when.
Yeah, so you've got the Sentinel Guard Squad and the Custodian Guard Squad, is that right?
So there's Sentinel Guard Squad and two Guardian Spear Squads. So that's 3 points.
Yeah.
And then the Sagittarum are 3 points. So that's my six deployment points off the bat.
Got you. Okay, cool. Not a huge army, it must be said. But yeah.
No, but there aren't going to be any huge armies.
Hold my beer.
Sure. Well, there are no units larger than 15. So, yeah. I mean, four Guardian Spear guys in that environment should be able to handle most things.
Yeah.
What's the range of the shooting weapon?
12 inches, I think. So it's not mega, but that's not what they're. The other bolter guys are 24 inches.
Right.
The Sagittarum squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 24 inches. So it's not mega range or anything, but again, looking at a classic Zone Mortalis board, there aren't many instances where you need anything necessarily longer than that. You don't need something that's 48 inches length. Or, you know, it's rarely any benefit to that. So.
I mean, the games that I've played, I think probably about 24 is about.
Yeah.
It's the longest one. But there are sort of choke points, I suppose. That's one of the things you set up, isn't it? You know, that you can have a sort of arc of fire that's going to cover a corridor, for example, and anything that comes in it is going to get shot to bits. So, yeah. Cool. Okay. Who's next?
Everyone's got melter bombs to blow up doors if required.
Mind if I give it a go?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, go
okay, right. My list is what I've actually built for the last edition, and I'm just porting it over, and I think it works, sort of. So we're going to start off with a Forge Lord who's got a Power Fist. He's got a Combi Melter and a Cyber Familiar. So I think he's going to be pretty tasty, I hope.
So what's he got?
Always the dream.
He's got a what?
Cyber Familiar, Combi Melter, and a Power Fist.
So he's on a 4 plus in one.
4 plus in one, 2 plus armor serve.
Yeah.
Power Fist and a what?
Combi Melter. Magna Combi Melter.
Okay.
Yeah. We've got a Praetor in Cataphractor armor. He's got a Combi Melter and a Chain Fist.
Okay.
And then in the elites, we have a Contempt Dreadnought, with a Gravis Chain Fist with a built-in melter gun and a Gravis Power Fist with a built-in Combi Bolter. There's no messing around here. It's just a close combat, Contemptor.
Yeah.
Then we've got a Rapier with, just the heavy bolters. Two gunners, and they've both got shrapnel bolters.
Yeah.
And shrapnel pistols, because why not?
So just quickly, so you've got two HQs and two elites so far.
Yes. Troops wise, again, this is an army I've already built. If I built it today, it would have had a lot more troops in it. But it is what it is, and this is what I'm using. I've got a Breacher Squad, a 10-man Breacher Squad, with two melter guns. Augury Scanner, Vexellia, and the Sergeant has Artificer Armor, a Combi Melter, Melter Bombs, and the other guys have all got Shrapnel Bolters.
Okay.
Then
Shrapnel Bolters are pinning, aren't they?
They're shorter range, but they're pinning. So I don't think
the range is... Is it pinning on a number, or they're just pinning?
Let me double check that for you. Shrapnel Bolter... Shrapnel Bolter. Where is it? Come on. What is it again? It is pinning. Just pinning.
Just pinning, yeah.
Yeah. I've got a tactical squad, all with shrapnel bolters, a Vexellia and an Augury Scanner. And the Sergeant has, he's just got a bolter. I think he was supposed to be armed with something, but I might have forgotten.
Okay.
But he hasn't got it on the thing. I've still got 9 points left, but I don't think there's much you can get for 9 points. Then we have a heavy support squad, a 10 man with, they've all got, las cannons, and the, Sergeant has Artificer armor.
10 man las cannon squad in 1500 points.
Sorry, 5 man las cannon squad. 5
man. I was going to say, you bad, bad man.
Jesus Christ, Michael, don't say the wrong thing. It's a 5-man las cannon squad, with shrapnel pistols.
Should have made them Iron Havocs.
Sorry?
Should have made them Iron Havocs.
Could have done, I suppose, but, well, they were in the original, thing, but I don't think they are in this.
They might be more expensive then.
Yeah, they might be. Then there's, 5 Tyrant Siege Terminators.
Not messing about. So how many points are we looking at? You've got 2 HQs.
1,491 points, but it is 20 points.
Yeah, and some of that stuff's going to take some getting in. So you've got the breaches.
I'm not getting everything in this game.
What was the troops? 2 breaches?
1 breacher squad and 1 tactical squad. And that's what I would deploy initially.
And the elites were...
Anything else.
2 elites.
We've got 2 elites in there. So we've got the Rapier and we've got the Contemptor.
So you could do...
Also needs 17 points.
It's not 20 points in total. I thought it was 20 points in total I had here.
So you've got 2 HQs.
That's 8.
2 elites.
4, so that's 12. Two troops.
14. One heavy support?
Two heavy support.
Oh, sorry. So, yeah, 20 points. Sorry, I missed.
So 6 points to start with, and then 2 points around means
what
that
the maximum
you could get is 16.
Yeah. No, I know that. But it's
one of those troop choices is not making the board.
Actually,
but then you've got 17, so you've got the same problem.
I deploy the two troops. That's what I would do. But I would save 4 points to react in my second turn.
I see what you mean. So you would put the two troops down first, and then bank 2 points.
And then I've got back 4 points banked, get 2 points. I've got 6 points to spend on turn two to bring on and perhaps overwhelm.
See, I probably wouldn't. I would go with the heavy support squad first, or one of those, because that's 3 points, right?
Yeah, to be fair, I was tempted to bring on the two troops and the Tyrant Siege Terminators.
So they're probably going to have the LAS cannons, because if you have got one of those big corridors, people are going to be very wary about charging a five-man LAS cannon squad in Zone Mortalis at the best of times. So I think I would probably do it that way and sort of start dominating the early phases of the game, because there's a good chance you could rip through some stuff with those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Tyrant
and let them come to you, basically. But yeah.
The Tyrant Siege stuff is going to be brilliant.
I mean,
the flak and the frag there.
Yeah,
as well,
either of those would work really well. Yeah, it's a good
list.
You've got a Contemptor, of course, as well, which is no
Contemptor. And it's just a close combat Contemptor. There's basic range weapons on there.
I would get a pair of snips and cut off that the chain fist, because it's pointless on a dreadnought in Zone Mortalis, and swap it out for a melted gun, grab a smelt gun, which is 5 points cheaper and infinitely more effective.
Yeah, but I've already built it.
I know. I've done that. Mind you, I've done the same. Michael, trust me, I've just went snip, bye. Melter gun, on you go.
But yes, I will post pictures, because I have actually built and painted this army a couple of years ago. I've never
used it. That is actually pretty effective, Mr. B, for an Iron Warriors also get plus. Oh, do you get your army special rules?
Yeah, you get your legion.
So you get the plus one against dreadnoughts and vehicles, so somewhat irrelevant against vehicles, but against dreadnoughts useful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd probably look into seeing if the Iron Havocs are the same comparable price as a five-man LAS cannon squad, because let's have a look.
Heavy support, Orion Havocs in
they're in Battle Scribe.
Oh, they're not available. Iron Havocs. I can't see them here.
I'm pretty sure they're there.
They should be here. I can't see them.
What are you in for? Sorry, I was zoned out.
Iron Havocs in Battle Scribe. Oh, they might not be in the ZM list though.
I couldn't find a ZM list for Battle Scribe. I just use
them. Yeah, there is. It's in the main list. But no, I can't see.
Yeah, Iron Havocs are definitely there.
I cannot see Iron Havocs in this list of stuff.
I'll tell you how much it is for a five man, according if Battle Scribe's correct. 135 points for Iron Havocs.
Okay, so my heavy support squad. My heavy support squad is, where is it here? Where has it gone? 170 points.
Yeah, so it might be somewhat. This is the LAS cannons. Yeah?
Does that include LAS cannons? Yeah.
No, so 210 points for Iron Havocs with LAS cannons.
So it's 40 points more.
Which is why those Starkey things are so flipping dangerous. Ridiculously cheap nonsense from him. Okay, that is a good list, Liz. That's a good list.
Shall I go?
I mean, you've got the option to bring stuff on or not bring stuff on. So, you know, you may not bring the Contemptor on, for example, or one of the HQ choices. I mean,
I actually really love this army, and I really think I might expand it.
I would argue what the point of the Praetor is. I've got to be honest with you,
because I've fallen.
Yeah, but I mean, the Forge Lord. I mean, you could drop the Praetor, because this isn't a close combat army.
Probably need another troops choice in there.
Honestly, because this is what I got. If I was building it again, I'd just put in another probably Breacher squad.
And yeah, go with the Forge Lord for your HQ and take another Breacher squad. Probably work. Yeah. But yeah, not bad at all.
I love this army. I kind of want to expand it out to a full army. It's all dry brushing and contrasts. It's great.
Fantastic. Okay. Shall I go next, or Rob, do you want to?
Entirely up to you, old boy.
All right, let me get my business sorted. So
this isn't a grazing eligible list.
Yeah, it's not ineligible anymore. It's perfectly eligible. So I've gone for Mechanicum. For my for the sins.
Ban this sick filth.
Not really, because they're bloody nonsense now. But and originally I was going to have them with some solo allies, which would be quite cool. But actually, would be quite a cool 1500 point list anyway. But anyway, so HQ, Archmagos Prime, pretty well tooled up to the max. Killed him a lot of stuff because I always do. So Machinator Array, he's a Cybernetica. So Techno Arcana Cybernetica, which means that I can, on rolling a leadership test, I can use two of my Cybernetica things, one of which would be making automata be able to react, and the second one being giving them +1 blister skill. Artificial Cybernetica means that I can join a automata squad if I so wish. He's got a plasma pistol. He's got a, the Machinator Array gives him a Meltgun Flamer. And I've also given him a Mastercrafted Photon Thruster. So Photon Thruster is pretty good. 2 shots, strength 6, AP 2. It does get hot. I've given it Mastercrafted for the inevitable ones that I will almost certainly roll. Cyber Familiar and an Augury Scanner. So if you do go near him, I've given the reaction to the automata. I can do something about it. Quite a cool guy. I think he's on a 3+ invon with the Cyber Familiar. So yeah, 240 points though, so a fair chunk of change. So that's 4 points. In my troops then, I've got a Castellax Battle 3 automata, because they become troops in Cybernetica.
They become compulsory troops.
No, they're just I think they might be compulsory troops, but no, I think they're just normal troops. They're not necessarily a compulsory troops choice. And then I've got, so they've got the Darkfire Lancers. And I've given them their close combat weapons, the Siege Wrecker, which is pretty handy, actually, because I figured things are going to get up close and personal at some point. Siege Wrecker, strength 10, AP 2, melee, brutal 2, Sunder, cool. Wrecker, specialist weapon. So they're no slouches, even in close combat. I mean, they're not going to light anything up.
Because initiative three, actually.
So not completely terrible, but things are going to go before them anyway. But fair enough, it's the chances you take. But Castellax is pretty effective. They've got the range. They've also got a close combat threat. And if I can get my Archmagos Prime to join them, they become infinitely better. And then for my two kind of compulsory troop choices, I've got two lots of Phalanx. One for a six robot-y thing with two phase plasma fusels. Yeah. And 1/4/1 with phased plasma fusels. The plasma fusels are pretty good, actually. Lots of shots, breaching 4+. And then fast attack, the classic Vorax. Three of these guys, getting ready to give you some fun and games with their lightning guns and rad cleansers. And then heavy support, I've gone for the Myrmidon Destructor Host. And they've got the Volkite Culverins on three of them, and two of them have got the lovely irradiation engines, which are the AP3 Flamers.
Torrent.
Template, so they'd be better. So I think they are poison anyway, so strength wouldn't necessarily impact them too greatly, because I know they get +1 to strength for template weapons, don't they? Yes. I believe that was the Zen Emerald.
Yeah,
they got flesh right there, so they're on twos as it is. So yeah. And I guess the plan there would be probably to, like I say, Mr. B, I have to have a bit of a think whether I bring the HQ and the Castellax on, which would be 5 points for turn one, and then bring the Phalanx on the following turn, and then have to save up a bit. What's fast attack? Is that two as well?
Yeah.
Maybe bring the Vorax on after that, and then have to save up for two turns to bring the Myrmidons on for potentially coming up behind a unit, you know, from the rear or from the side, because obviously you can, with some pretty formidable firepower. To do some damage there. 5+ invon saves on Myrmidons, four of them as well. They've got a lot of wounds, and they've got a pretty good stat line as well, actually, Myrmidon Destructors.
They do.
They are not bad. 3+ save, which is a blessing in a Mechanicum army these days. Destructor Lord, they're all Blizzard Skill 5. They've all got Relentless, so they can move and fire these things. Volkite Culverins as well, so heavy 5, so that's 15 shots from the squad. With Deflagate, I think they'll do all right. So, yeah, that's my plan. So I think that would basically be HQ and the automata on turn one, and lay down any fire that I need to, because the range is incredible. Then slowly bringing in the Thalax after that, or the Vorax, maybe second turn to run ahead and do some business. But a lot of wounds. Armor save's not great on most stuff, a 4+. But it should be fun. I think it would be quite a good and interesting list to play at ZM level. That's me.
Yeah, I feel a little bit like I brought a knife to a gunfight, to be fair. But to go back to the Patreon content.
Yeah, that does sound like, Grounds is a pretty tough list.
I think Chris is winning so far, but that's just because it's Custard Boys, Golden Boys, isn't it?
That's fair. I mean, they don't have a battlefield to traverse. So they're going to be able to do what they're good at much quicker than they would do under normal circumstances.
Yeah.
So, I think that's definitely the case. But anyway, unless yours is spectacularly good.
Yeah, it's just wherever we go. It's on the outcomes. Some sort of evil combination, the likes of which war crimes have been there.
It's wolves.
What did you copy and paste here?
Can each of us guess how many packs of Grey Slayers there are before we start?
Four.
I'll go three.
Six.
Right up.
Full on. Just trying to flood the board with bodies.
HQ.
Hold on, I need to just top up my thing before we go any further. I didn't give you that. So Archmagos Prime's four. Three troops.
Seven.
Two. Vorax is two, and the Myrmidons is three. So 5 + 7 is 12, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. 4, 5, 6, 7.
I suppose it's 5.
Cool. So technically, I could get everything on the board by turn 5, I think.
Yeah.
I suppose the problem is you're only getting two a turn, and some of your things are 3 points.
Yeah, so I'd have to kind of say
so that.
So I think that will be the order of battle. But yes. Sorry, Rob, please go.
That's all right. So I've gone, as unsubscribed, with wolves. So we will start with Praetor and Cataphracti Armor.
Of course.
And he's got a great frost blade.
I could have told you that.
Plus two strength, initiative two, reaping blow, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, okay.
And that's it.
What does that cost? Minus 50 points or something? You have to...
10 points.
Games Workshop sent him a voucher for more models.
That's what happens every time you use that.
Yeah.
10 points.
10 points.
Will you get the flipping heck out of it? 10 points for that. Initiative axe.
A sword or blade, event of some description. Initiative, plus two strength, AP two, reaping blow. 10 points. If you've already AP2 at initiative.
If you've already bought a power
weapon. Got a power weapon. If you come with a power weapon, it's a 10-point upgrade.
Does he come with it comes with a power weapon standard, doesn't he?
Comes with a power weapon standard. Only available to independent characters and one other person who's coming up shortly.
It's no different, I'd say, than my Meridian Blade, so it's not crazy.
And I can't take units with them.
You get the Meridian Blade for free, but it's 200 points. That Praetor's, 135.
So he's 145 points, basically. So he's got nothing else.
Okay.
He's my only HQ choice.
Right.
So then moving into elites, we have a unit that I've never taken, but I thought I'd try and do something different. I've got a Varagir unit.
So okay.
Five Cataphracti Terminators. The Thane, the sergeant, he also has a great frost blade because he can for 10 points, so why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Now, these guys, you can mix and match, do whatever you want. So you can replace, they come with a normal frost blade, which is plus one strength, AP three, reaping blow. So I've replaced four of those. Two I've replaced with Reaper auto cannons, and two I've replaced with thunder hammers. And then you can also buy a second Frostblade for 5 points for any that has basically subbed one out. So I've got five Terminators, one Great Frostblade, two with Reaper Auto Cannon and Frostblade, two with Thunderhammer and Frostblade. Working on the assumption, basically, they can handle pretty much anything they come across. Then we move into troops. We start with a unit of 12 Breachers with a Vexilla, two Melter Guns, Artificer Armor and a Thunder Hammer on the Sergeant.
Yep. Actually, just before we go, because normally you probably wouldn't put, or I found, like, putting shooting weapons on Terminators is somewhat redundant, because what you don't want to be doing is shooting something and then charging it. Because if you shoot it, it'll return fire. If you charge it, it'll overwatch. So you get shot twice, basically. But there's no
return fire. But I want to be able to do something where I might be out of range.
But there's no return fire in Zomortalis.
No.
The only firing one is if you move within 12 and they can snap shoot you. There isn't actually a return fire reaction, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
You can move out of the way, you can brace, and you can suppress, but you can't return fire. So
you can't return
fire. It would certainly be totally valuable to go, I'm going to shoot you with my reporter cannons, and then I'm going to charge you. So
I'm going to charge you and stab you in the face.
Yeah. Unless they did the displace thing, but yeah. Even that's only 6 inches. Okay. Yeah, cool.
So yeah, 12 breaches with the Vexilla, two melter guns, artificer armor, and thunder hammer on the sergeant. Just again, melter guns, just in case you come up against something that you want to.
They're melter guns, shoot. Not combi melters on the bar, okay.
Melter guns.
Yes.
Melter guns. And there is another unit exactly the same. There's your copy and paste.
There we go.
Another 12 breaches, Vexilla, two melter guns, artificer armor, and thunder hammer on the sergeant.
Okay. Not Grey Slayers then?
Not yet. So then you've got a unit of 10 Grey Stalkers, which are the guys that come normally with the axe and the shield. So they've got combat shields. So I've got two power fists in that unit, a Vexilla, a thunder hammer on the sergeant as well. He's also got artificer armor, and then six of the remaining guys have power weapons. So they would be swords.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got six power swords, two power fists, and a thunder hammer, and combat shields. And obviously they've got all their snazzy, we can run, charge, shoot, skip. Basically, they move a bit like Death Guard. Not quite as quick, but nearly. So there's 10 of them. And then you've got 10 Grey Slayers. So they're bolt pistol and chainsword as standard, but I've upgraded 9 of these guys to have power weapons. Sergeant has a thunder hammer and artificer armor, and there is also a Vexilla, and that is bang on 1,500 points.
Nice.
Got you. So you got
so
one.
My
one
six to start
so,
with.
So
I've
yeah,
got,
so you got
my six to start with.
Points
is
total. It's 10. 4 for the HQ, 2 for the two elites. So that's another 4, and then
4 troops.
4 troops.
12 then. If I'm, if my maths is going
four,
bad.
No, 4 and 6, and then another 4. 4 and 2, and then another 4.
Yeah, that's 4 and
10.
12 points.
Hold on. 12 points. So you've got two elites, haven't you?
No, I've got one elite.
One elite.
Oh, there we are then. So
10 points.
10 points.
Yeah.
So everybody is on by turn that's 4.
Some point, yes.
But start off Praetor and the Varagir.
So that's
basically
gonna be
the Viking way, the boss man, that's 6.
6, yep.
So the boss man and his Terminator unit, they go, hang on, let's see what's going on. Because basically they're the hardest lot.
Yeah.
So they'll go wandering on, and then 2 after that, you bring on the Stalkers and the Slayers because they're quick, so they can overtake the other guys and start scouting around and using all their bonkers little movement tricks to get around the place.
Hmm.
And then the Breachers come on, who are a little bit slower, who can get to a point that might have theoretically been already secured by the other units, and then just stand there and go, come and get it.
Did you have augury scanners on the...
No, because I hadn't thought of the importance of such things, but...
Okay, yeah, maybe that might be... Because obviously things are going to be coming at you all at angles, aren't they?
From all angles, yeah. But then everything's got a thunder hammer. Everything's got something that can handle pretty much anything. I mean, obviously, you know, Dread would
What's
be...
What's a combat shield? Is that 6 plus in running combat?
Yeah,
6 up in running combat.
Nice. Yeah, cool. Like it. Yeah, and what can they do? They can run and charge, can't they?
They can move, run and charge.
It's disorganized charge, I think.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Even so, that still gives them an effective charge of
a lot.
Grand does mass in head. So 10-inch move and then 12-inch charge. So average of 7. So 17 inches effective combat range.
So effectively a corridor one end to the other, isn't it?
Yeah, and on Zomortalis that's a long way, isn't it? Is,
yeah,
you know, half the board effectively.
It wouldn't take them long on turn 2 to leapfrog the to leapfrog the cataphracty terminators.
Yeah, bear in mind they don't have to come on the same. They don't have to come on the same side. So
they don't either.
They could be coming on a completely different angle altogether.
Doors will be your undoing.
need dog flaps on every single one of them just to get you through.
No, yeah, you have to smash them in, aren't you?
Just knock on it, knock on it with
the back doors in. Yeah.
Smash on it with a knock on it with a thunder hammer. Tends to work.
Yeah, I guess the problem is that you'd have to do that in combat, and you couldn't kind of shoot it and then. But no, it's not massive.
The melee guns, could on the
and the auto cannons could as well.
And the auto cannons could.
Yeah, because they're strength 7. So
I'm just thinking of they want to be quick. I'm just thinking they're not necessarily going to get.
Can they shoot and run, or they can't? Or I can't remember.
No, because running isn't done. You do running instead.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, but they might have some weird ass special rules. They can just charge. Yeah.
If you could run, shoot, and charge, then they would be broken.
Yeah.
That would be.
Well, they are space wolves, so they probably.
Well, even the there's a limit. There's even a limit to the madness. Yeah.
So I think that's a super list.
It's 42. It's magic 46 bodies.
That's quite a lot to get through, right? On his own retirement. If you look at Chris's 12 or 13 bodies.
20. Albeit, 20 models. Thank you.
20 models, albeit that they have got two wounds minimum.
Yeah, it's 46. They're all weapon skill 5 when they make a successful charge as well. Because they still get that.
This is one of the toughest ones we've had, actually, I think.
Pretty, yeah.
I'd be intrigued to see what would happen between mine and Rob's lists, because
it's going to meet in the middle and get messy.
It is. It's going to be interesting because your units would count as nemesis units to me because you'd get weapon skill 5.
Yeah, which means you're going to hit me very, very hard, but I've got thunder hammers that can hurt you a lot.
And bear in mind that also...
Well, they can't hurt me that much.
Power swords are rending 6.
Yeah.
So if you get and throw enough attacks at it, and your Grey Slayers and Grey Stalkers will have
a lot of attacks.
And you've only got so many models that you're attacking, you're going to get some AP2 through there. And you only got 5 plus in one now. So I think that it would be an interesting... I think a Terran Guard would do them. But I'm not sure about how the others would fare.
Yeah, I think that this is probably a game in which the Custodes are already pretty good, but I think they would really, really shine in this kind of game without...
There's no universe in which me and Rob would be against each other, so it's not...
No, we have to have it now, next time we're together, just to prove a point.
Training days.
I don't know, actually. It's an interesting one. I mean, Mr. B's army is very effective.
The thing is, none of them are shabby lists. Not one of us has turned up with something.
I think mine's the most shabby.
By the only thing that really holds your army back is the armor saves. Because you're so open to such a variety of shooting.
Yeah, and... I mean, there's all the bloody, heavy bolters and stuff. But the thing is, the phalanx really, really motor.
I was surprised you didn't take any Ursaracs.
They're rubbish. That's why.
Okay, I don't know what they're like now. So,
yeah, I mean, they will just.
I would have thought they'd be pretty good in Zone Mortalis with the fast movement.
Yeah, but the fast movement equals fast death, basically. I've used them a few times, and every time they've been quite an expensive waste of time, unfortunately. They do have the claws, but they've got low initiative.
Yeah.
So you're going to get pounced on by, like, say, chain axes and stuff.
You know what is a shame? You don't have the deep strike rule, the teleport rule that we used to have in the old edition, because you could change the game up by, teleporting someone right into the middle of a...
Yeah, so much
situation.
I mean, I think it's because
you can flank from all corners now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not quite the same as teleporting into the middle of the horde.
But I mean, I think the phalanx are good. I mean, they can go something like 13 in the movement phase with their jetpacks now, and then they can also move in the assault phase, so they can get out the way of stuff.
What does the phalanx do now? Because his rule used to be.
But yeah, the Castellax are pretty good at shooting. I mean, there's a lot of shooting there that could be quite effective, but it's not a close combat army. And I guess most people would be coming for close combat, but it depends on the mission, I think. I think if I was going to give it battlefield effectiveness...
I think Chris has got back to battlefield effectiveness.
I don't know. I mean, there's a certain amount of mystique around Custodes, and they have got a lot of wounds, and they have got good initiative, so they are going to go first.
They're not going to roll all ones like Mr. B's going to do.
Yeah.
No, probably will. And one that would be their downfall.
But that volume of fire will do them, as we've been proven by the Death Guard.
But again, the thing with Zone Mortalis is there are very few occasions where a whole battle line.
I agree.
Is going.
You're not going to be able to. You'd have to get a huge number of shots from one squad,
Yeah.
something like, you know,
Mr. B's
squad or something.
If it was a 10-man last count squad, then, or a 10-man heavy support squad.
That would do it. But yeah.
It's very rare that you're in that situation.
I think you're right insofar. I think Zomos Allison and is, because of the lack of distance needed to travel and you can come on at any angle, I think I'd give it to Chris. I think it's going to be, the army's going to excel at close range. So that's where they're best at, and they can get to that quite quickly. But I suppose not everything would come
coin
on.
Coin toss it between, that's the thing. I mean,
because Rob's
a normal game. The thing is, I'm probably not going to bring on the HQs, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I would want to.
If it was you against Rob, that would also be telling, because Rob could get a lot of troops on quickly in comparison, whereas your stuff might be coming in turn 4-5. Rob's is going to have everything on there turn 4.
By the end of turn 2, it's only my 2 HQ choices that can't come on.
But you need... it's 8 points for those both to come on, isn't it?
For 2 models to come on. So it's not... Yeah. They are useful, but they're not...
Yeah, it's an interesting one. But like I said, change your list composition to think, actually, do I want more than 2 HQs? Because it's 8 points, they're not going to get on. Maybe I'll be better off putting something else in troops, for example. So that's an interesting little thing there. So I'm going to give it to Chris, because I think, if I'm honest with you, even if one of those HQs doesn't hang up, like the Assassin, for example, which is cool, but probably not as cool as useful as the Shield Captain.
I do have to agree. I think it will be Chris.
What about fun to play? And fun to play against, because with the best one in the world, there's no fun playing against Custodes that when they're like that. You're just going to die. You know you're going to die. You're like, oh my God, Heteran Guard. How am I going to get through that?
Isn't there some pleasure in the challenge, though?
There is no pleasure in dealing with it. What's your initiative? Oh, 5. And toughness, 4, isn't there? 5.
5.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5s.
Strength? That'd be 5. What are those solar, like? Oh, they're AP2 initiative claws.
You've got no weapon that can double.
Oh, really?
Sorry about
that. Thanks ever so much.
Yeah, I get that.
0. I think Mr. B's wouldn't be a lot of fun to play against, because Iron Warriors aren't a lot of fun to play against.
Nope.
somewhat annoyingly,
I think
the most fun list for me to play and to play against would be Rob's. From my point of view, anyway.
Yes, I agree. Rob's would be a bit mental. I like that.
I like the idea of the dogs running down the corridors, sort of semi-feral.
I like it's something that's in a lot of the books. In a lot of the books that have the wolves in,
assassinate something, a high priority target. I do like that as a concept. Yeah, that's really cool.
You've got the strike on the vengeful spirit. The Wolfsbane thing, you've got basically every book that's got the wolves in it, there is some point where they are pouring down corridors like liquid. It's almost it's almost as common as that bloody wet leopard growl of Lehman Russ's.
I thought it was a panther growl, but
no, it's a wet leopard growl, trust me. I don't know why a wet leopard would growl any more than a dry one.
They're the same creature.
I was going to say, maybe they have a different tone when they're wet.
They're bloody annoyed. They're bloody livid.
Bloody livid and wet now.
Cats don't like getting wet.
Don't they swim, though? Aren't they kind of...
Tigers do voluntarily, but they're pretty much the only one.
So, yeah, I think if, for me, anyway...
Trust me, cats don't like getting wet.
But, maybe Rob's. I think Mr. B's would be tough with the Dreadnought. You're automatically losing points for me.
You just keep shutting doors in front of him. Just got to shut that.
Yeah, we'll make sure there's lots of doors so he can only get 2 inches onto the board and that's it. that would probably be, for me anyway, Rob's would be, out of the three choices there, Rob's would be the fun to play.
Yeah.
What criteria have we got left then?
You don't have to agree with me because bear in mind that,
I genuinely think that it's as annoying as it is.
I'd like to play Chris's, but it's because it involves stabbing things rather than shooting it. So of course I'm going to pick that if I can't pick my own.
Real men of similar heartbeats. That's what
I wouldn't go.
I think it's just because they're so polar. They're such polar opposites that.
I think Grace would. I would enjoy playing it. I wouldn't enjoy playing it a lot, if that makes sense. If it was my army, I think I'd be like, once or twice, I'd be like, this is quite good fun. But I think the realities of it would make it.
Yeah, oh my God, heavy flamers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's going to hurt.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but Rob, yeah, I like the idea of the...
Yeah, I mean, I think the sort of general consensus is that there's only one decent unit in the Mechanicum, and that's the Myrmidons.
Yeah.
Because they got 3+ save.
Yeah. Not what they once were.
No, definitely not.
No.
The Edge of Empire rule, what was once good, is now sheep.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cataphracts would do all right, because AP2 weapons range.
Yeah, the Darkfire Lancers are they still pretty useful?
Yeah, it's 2 shots.
Can't remember which of them.
Strength 7 lance, but they are AP2.
Yeah,
and
so.
Giving the if I could get the HQ with them, he could cast his evil thing on and give him +1 blisters because hitting on twos.
So they'll shoot twice, shoot twice. Oh no, because they're not automata.
They can't shoot. They're automata, but there's not the shoot twice option anymore.
I mean, they'd cause me a problem certainly.
Yeah, I think the problem is it's only 6 shots AP2. You know, whereas a 10-man Lascannon squad is going to be considerably more effective.
But twice the price.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Money, money, money time then, I guess.
Money, money, money. All right.
But I think mine comes in quite expensive at £346.50.
Oh, he's gone.
No, he's beaten me.
Me too.
Have I?
Really? Mine was over seven. Mine was nearly £900.
sweet resiny goodness.
It's all Forge World, isn't it? Except for the one thing I could get from Games Workshop, which was the what's his name? Call figure.
The Cyrus Call chap.
Yeah.
What was yours then, Graham? How much was yours?
I think it was like 793 or something like that.
Okay. So if I was allowed to go to bits sites, mine would be about 50 or 60 quid cheaper, but I've not, just so I don't anger Graham.
Go on, how much is it?
So as it is at the moment, 392.50. That's 195 at GW Prime for 2 Mark III boxes, a box of Cataphracti Terminators, which is 55 quid, and I only need 5 of them, so I'd sell.
Don't we have a rule that you have to use, if there's a resin model, you have to use the resin model?
No.
No, he can use the plastic.
Can you though? I'll be saying they're not Varagir.
Varagir are just Terminators.
All the banana fur got burnt off going through a wall of flame with some dead heavy bolter guys.
I would write a letter of stiff complaints. Saying if you're going to play space wars,
I'd make sure you cut yourself inside your nostril.
The most ridiculous army in the whole of the thing, then you have to have a ridiculously looking Terminator.
All right, then. What about Chris?
Okie dokie. So
it's nothing. It's all plastic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
55 quid.
Yeah.
Hang on. So
100 quid.
And our Sagittarium's at Forge World.
Yeah, it's only an upgrade kit, though.
Yeah.
Give me one second.
I think they're the nicest looking custodians, but I know everyone disagrees with me on that one. Yeah, as I said, everyone disagrees with me on that one, but I think they're the nicest.
You've got product placement going on there, Mr. Bieber.
Murdered.
No. My camera's got this really cool autofocus feature where if I hold something up, it like just it's now not working. Yeah, it focuses right on that. So
that's good.
It's a bit weird.
Anyway, sorry, Chris. What's
that right. Misery? So, if I
no,
do
I'm not. From... I'm not promoting Aldi Cola.
Fair enough, but maybe we should try. If I was to do it from Element, it would be £233.52. No,
it's got to be from GW Prime.
Okay, okay. So that adds on. So there, 37.
We probably should do it from Element Games, considering.
I always do it from Element Games. I've only gone from GW.
He's clinging on to the fact that.
Next time we do a challenge list, we do Element.
Unless you have to buy it from GW Prime.
You had to get it from Games Workshop. Yeah. Because then it's an even playing field.
In case you don't have the internet to go to the shop the people on the podcast tell you to go to.
There might be people like that, you know, who can't, for whatever reason. I mean, if you're American, for example, you're not going to be able to get it from Element Games.
Who cares about Americans?
£254 from Games.
What international audience we just had, Mr. B, has now just left. So thanks.
They hadn't already.
They care about themselves, the Canadian community.
We do like our American audience, but to be fair, the Ukrainian one is bigger. And I don't know why. the more Ukrainians are listening to our show since the war started.
And because of all the secret code words I'm putting in and according to organising their resistance.
And looking at the videos that have been taken off Twitter recently, they've been doing a fair bit of zone mortalis of their own in the last few days. I don't know if you saw any of them.
Let's just move on and wish our
all right. So Chris has won this bliss challenge with and effectiveness.
Back in the groove. I knew my golden boys wouldn't let me down this week.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay.
They kind of had it, you know.
Their environment.
If I do redo the Wolves, Chris, because there's some things in there that I don't have, we'll make that happen.
Control.
Yeah, I mean, I've got everything to make that list. Apart from the assassin,
I can do the Mechanicum one except for the Borax and the Myrmidons, actually. So no, I can't really.
I don't have anything in Terminator armor, but other than that, I can pretty much do that.
With that list in it, yes, I can see the box. I've got the army in that box. I can see it right now, so I could do it tomorrow.
Terminal Charles, good game. Armies aren't massive. You don't. I think you don't have to spend a lot on Astartes lists now either, because a lot of it's plastic as well. So
the thing I noticed with mine is mine would, if somebody was, you know, did have the correct taste in legions, that list of like mine would be a really good way to start to build on, even for going to play in frontline.
I think the thing with Zone Mortalis is you might do cheap armies, but you need scenery.
Yeah.
Buy a multi-pack of Aldi Cola cans and spray them all black.
Yeah, the 1500 points is not a bad art. And again, it's whether these armies, you could transfer them across onto the battlefield at 1500 points. Yeah, everybody bar Chris's would probably be okay, but Chris is still going to have that age-old problem with the old golden boys, which is how do you get them where they need to be?
I think for some list challenges that should be a factor of how much of a faff is this going to be to carry.
You know, I've actually started to put things into my armies that I know aren't going to be a faff to carry anymore. So, like, to give you some context,
ease of transportation.
I've got massive plastic boxes for things like the salamanders and the solar, because they're all tanks and stuff, and I'm like, do I take them or do I take Mechanicum and which fit into a nice bag?
Yeah, I mean,
I actually bought Tabletop Tyrant. I bought one of their carry cases things because I had some of the foam. I don't know how I managed to get more foam than boxes, but I managed to do it somehow. And so I've put the Mechanicum and the Solar Infantry, and I can make quite a nice 3,000 point list with just infantry with those, which I'm going to start running out because I think that's going to be quite a good fun list to play. Not very competitive, but I don't want to kind of get just caught up in playing competitive games. So
I can fit 3,000 points of Custodes in a KR half case.
Yeah, exactly. I dream of such things. Most of my armies are enormous amounts of stuff to lug about.
Yeah. Unless I'm taking Big Burden, which I have to take two cases.
Shocker.
But who takes that piece of crap anyway?
I'm trying to think, with Ultramarines, it's like at least three. Cart cases to lug about, so yeah, hours of fun. But actually, what I've started to do is I've started to buy toolboxes, and use them to transport tanks, because they're pretty good for transporting tanks around. You have to kind of do your own foam in the inside, but that's actually a pretty cost effective way of getting a tank transporter thing and then a separate one for your infantry.
Yeah, because I mean, for Big Bird, I bought a cushion stuffing thing, like a solid foam cushion pillow thing, and just cut it out so it fit in the box and then cut out the shape.
Yeah.
So you can do that. You know, we should look at transport options at some point in the future.
That's not a bad idea.
That'd be a good idea for sure.
Travel with our stuff.
Yeah, good idea.
Maybe even storage, and maybe one day people will know how bad my storage is.
We should take photos of our shape.
I will never tell anybody how I store my armies, because I will be, Rob will murder me.
Yeah,
I imagine Rob has
just
add it
to the list.
Yeah, organized kind of.
Yeah, you know the
Dewey decimal scale way of storing armies or something. You know, something
you know really the table that's precise. In the shack.
Yes.
Underneath that, there are five Tabletop Tyrant cases, like the one I took to Fest. There are three battle foam cases, Basically, everything is in a case under there, and the cases all fit in that 3x3 cube.
Nice. I've got, and I'm going to count them now just to make them, you know, this isn't me bragging, this is the problem. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 KR cases, and 2 Tabletop Tyrant cases, 2 old Games Workshop plastic cases, and the Tabletop Tyrant big case. That's just behind me. And then the rest of all my other armies are in bloody massive boxes, plastic boxes. Crazy. This is what happens when they get a podcast. Don't do podcasting, folks, because you then do list challenges. And I think I'm going to do this.
And we don't want you, and we don't want more competitors.
I was going to say, don't do a podcast, kids, because, you know.
Well, there's one every minute, frankly. Yeah. But yes, you get, when you're doing a list challenge, you're like, oh, that would be a great army to play. And then you kind of end up straying onto Games Workshop or Forge World late at night on a Sunday.
Many recording sessions ended with a full basket, wasn't it? That's
exactly, yeah. It's like, oh, I'll just click pay on that. Be fine.
Whack it on the PayPal, pay in three.
Exactly, pay in three.
Yeah, I nearly bought that massive bloody Necromunda thing, and I thought, no, I will get hit with.
I almost bought that war, you know, that war game that I want to buy, the big World War II thing.
Oh, yes.
I found the website you can buy it from. It's 190 quid. And I was like, how many payments is that in three? It's like, no, if this turns up, there will be.
What was that? What war game was that?
So it's the one where basically you play out the entire Second World War on a massive 47-inch
map board. You need to hire somewhere to play that.
It takes about 4 days, doesn't it, or something?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know I don't normally do board games.
That's a weekend away.
Yeah,
I could do that. Well, you wouldn't need to hire somewhere. We just hire a car and go to my mum's in France.
It is.
There's a table tennis table in the garage that we could bring out into the garden and just sit and eat cheese and kill Nazis.
The game is called.
It wouldn't one of us have to actually be the Nazis, though.
Yeah, someone has to be. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not me.
No.
Who's the one with the German heritage? Sorry, Michael.
That's why I'm not doing it.
When I did
a bolt action campaign, that's exactly why I ended up with the flipping Germans, and I'm not doing it again.
So the game is called
Bolt Action's fun.
So Google War Room. That's the game. And okay. Yeah, you can do the European War. You can do you can break it up into different things, or you can play.
You could do the Pacific War, but you're still not necessarily being anybody who's really much nicer.
So you break down it. You have allies, Axis, and I think the Russians, I think, are separate. I can't remember. They might be part of the allies list. So each player would take a nation within that grouping, I think, from what I can remember reading the rules PDF. The map is 47 inches wide.
Wowzers.
And you can buy the little sticks to push. It's super complicated. It's not like a.
I've heard it's ridiculous.
Not like one of those. You know, what was that other game that they did in Big Bang Theory? Was it Axis and Allies? I can't remember what it was, but it's basically the whole of the Desert War is done, and it's down to the very last detail, including things like.
Oh yes, yes.
So basically, similar. You have to worry about your supply lines.
I can't remember what it's called, but yeah, it was the Big Bang.
No, I know the game you mean. I think Battle for North Africa sounds something similar.
Yeah, if you...
Or something like that. But yeah, I know the one you mean.
This game would be us in somewhere for 2 days doing various fairly inappropriate accents, I suspect.
The Campaign for North Africa is what it's called. So very close, Mr. Bing.
Yes. Yeah, something like that. It's I've seen it played. And it looks a lot of fun, but it's on a much smaller scale than.
I mean, I do a fairly decent hair flick walk, but that's about as far as I would go down that one.
God, look at this. This is the, oh my God, gameplay. Plan strategic air missions. Oh my God. It's, check out the Wikipedia page.
Which one?
It's too long. The campaign for North Africa.
North Africa, yeah.
That is something.
I think I'd rather play that because it's on a slightly smaller scale and.
No, I mean, it looks super complicated.
Oh, yeah, but it's on a smaller scale, and I think I wouldn't get quite as overwhelmed.
Basically, it's seasons 2 and 3 of Game of Thrones as you chase Rommel around, a bit like Khaleesi chased people around what was obviously North Africa for season 2 and 3 of Game of Thrones.
I think they filmed that in Croatia, or was it Malta?
Croatia. Dubrovnik is where a lot
Dubrovnik's King's Landing, which is obviously season 7.
They did a lot in Malaysia.
I know Chris didn't like it, but did you watch House of Dragons, anybody?
I've not watched it yet. I bought it because I put it on the
I really enjoyed it, actually.
Best thing about it was Matt Smith, who basically deserves back surgery, as far as I'm concerned, because he must have ached like nothing after carrying that nonsense.
I mean, I'm glad to see they kept some of the traditions of Game of Thrones alive and well, which I'm very pleased about. But I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed it, I got to say. It got better towards the end. Dragons were cool. I enjoyed it. Yeah, good fun.
Dragons were good. It just seemed like nothing was really progressing at any point.
Last time, let's be careful, because the last time we talked up a TV show, we got called idiots.
Did we?
Did we?
Yes.
What TV show was it?
Rings of Power.
I want to see the email that says that so I can write a complete rebuttal.
I've not actually seen it yet.
It was a Facebook comment.
Well,
was it basically a twit trying to hide the fact they were a massive racist twunt or the behind?
No,
the,
I think it was that. It was
generally hate anything on television that's new.
Okay.
Oh, it was Mark Wheatley from York. Right. Okay. guy who goes to the York War, upstanding pillar of the York War Game community, Mr. Mark Wheatley, still watches a black and white telly because he thinks the picture quality is better.
That's just some hipster nonsense there.
No, the guy's in his
60s.
Anyway,
before we get
there's nothing hipster about it.
Before we get a lawsuit from Mark Wheatley for defaming him on the podcast, I'm not sure
he's got.
He wasn't defaming him. He was simply saying he was a pillar of the community, and therefore that's a positive thing in my
very well covered, Mr.
May not be a
pillar of the community. Big thick thing often impedes vision.
So anyway, I thought it was pretty good, but I enjoy Rings of Power as well. So just put that. But then these are subjective things. People
have you heard that New Line are making 7 more Lord of the Rings films?
Yeah, that's not good either. And I've also heard that.
I'm legally not allowed to comment.
And then
For God's sake!
No, I work for the company, so I can't.
You work for New Line Cinema?
No, I work for the company that owns Middle Earth Enterprises, so I can't actually say anything.
So can you not talk about Embracer or that?
Not in a negative way, you know?
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I totally understand. Anyway, moving on then. But yes, because
let's go home, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's go to bed.
Let's get the night bus home.
All right.
So that brings an end to this particular madness, and especially that last 10 minutes of just in.
Yeah, we should probably just cut, to be honest with you. Let's just cut that whole business up, will you please cut the last 10 minutes of nonsense?
Yeah, I'll leave some of it in, but I'll get rid of a bunch.
After the.
But basically, don't do that with a bottle of ginger beer, okay, kids? Just don't. Yeah. Not with ginger beer.
Not worth it.
At least ask first if you're gonna.
Well, yeah. So that brings into this. So as always, thank you for listening and watching if you're watching us on YouTube, because that's where this ends up now as well.
Yeah.
So that's kind of weird. You can see all of our glorious faces. You can see that easily though on the YouTube. You just click on the video, it tells you every time it's been viewed. So, give us
a like, on that, whatever it is. We definitely need that.
Yeah, we do. One thing we might look to do in the future is perhaps put your armies on display in the recordings. So if you want to send us photos, because we've always wanted to see your armies.
Yeah.
So send us your photos and we'll put them in the video in a little section for the other 7 people to watch. And admire and go, ooh.
Yeah, we'll say nice things about them.
And that's exactly how it has to be done, people.
Ooh. Readers' armies.
Exactly.
With a black bar, of course.
Yeah.
Readers' armies. Nice.
Oh, God.
Right.
Oh,
please, if you'd be so kind, please leave us some reviews on iTunes, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and now YouTube.
This was painted by Stella from Macclesfield.
A lovely, lovely dry brush.
When she's not at chip shop.
That brush
is never dry. It's not the 70s anymore, Christopher.
Rob, that accent is my accent. Thank you very much. That is Alan.
Alan, isn't it? Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, I'm channeling Alan.
Channels Alan.
I'll get Brian back out of his box. This is
right. Give our page a like too, for no other reason than to let us know that you like what we're doing. If you want to get in touch with us, you can post us on Facebook wall or send a message to that account, or you can even email us at info@edgeofempire.co.uk.
You're going to do a Gollum if you carry on, dude.
No, I can do this all night long. My voice has been so broken from doing it in the past.
He doesn't do Gollum, he goes...
It doesn't even hurt anymore.
Okay.
So if you want to help out the show, we have an affiliate link with Audible, so you can sign up, get your Horace Harris
Michael
audiobooks.
Parkinson,
through them with a month's free trial, and after that, $7.99 a month for an audiobook, and all the Black Library books are on there for you to listen to.
How do those audiobooks work then? Does that mean somebody comes around and reads it to you?
Absolutely.
I think Michael
Aspel comes around.
Like a care in the community kind of thing. Some work experience kid comes around and reads a book for you if your eyes aren't very good.
He leaves a Parker pen afterwards as well. Can't bloody move for the bloody
I better get a free will kit as well. I've started getting in every bloody week
front door.
Post.
You have to
really
push
do.
A bloody pile of Parker pens out the bloody way. I'm like,
that is such a peculiar Michael. Cultural reference that nobody's going to get outside of. Anyway. Go on.
Remember when Parker pens were actually worth something?
No.
Well, yes. Yeah, they were. Aspel's going around shoving them through door boxes every day. Right, anyway, you can also become a patron of the show and pop a couple of dollars into our tip jar if for any other reason than to stop me doing this stupid voice in the future. What is a Ko-fi? What is Ko-fi?
Yeah, Patreon, but just like one off.
Ko-fi. Right.
Ko-fi.
You can help us out by going through the advert on our website to purchase your wargaming toys through Element Games. We also have Element Crystal Codes, which means you get double the crystals and we get normal crystals. They are always in the show notes, but here we go anyway for the plasma crit mass in the head. A lot of times we've done it before. Chris's is CHR221. Graham's is GRA2794. Michael's is MIC440. I couldn't say that for some reason. My brain couldn't handle double four. And Rob's is ROB676. We also have an affiliate link with The Outpost, which is a great friendly local gaming store in Sheffield. And I think that's just about all of our notices.
And I need
you have now Jackie Weaver.
Yeah. Smashing. So next episode then, what are we doing?
we're talking about getting you out of South America, aren't we? I think we touched on that earlier.
We're looking still at the Battle of Chthonia, and we're looking at the core missions and the campaign element.
We're looking at the operational level of the Siege of Chthonia.
It's all about the operational level.
Wonderful. Yes.
The core missions.
You crazy, who's that? Crazy guys.
I've heard my letterbox go again. There's another bloody pen.
Another pen. Yeah. Right.
Right, Aspel, take your bloody red book and all. Sling your book.
That's it.
So niche. Right. For goodness sake.
It's over, son. Over.
So never mind.
Can we please return to some semblance of normality before Mr. B?
Yeah, seven years and eight episodes ago. Yeah, we could have done then.
So, what we're up to next? So next month, core missions campaign. Looking forward to that. I'm particularly the campaign part because I'll see how that goes. And that's it. So I think we can call it a night.
I'd like to ask, I'm playing a game on Friday. What army should I take? I'm playing against Alpha Legion. It's a brand new player. It'll only be his second game.
Right.
Should I take
the hardest list?
He'll have a 10-man Last Cannon squad.
Death Guard or Imperial Fist?
Death Guard and just shoot him off the board by walking.
No, I want to be nice.
Which one's got more Volkite in it?
Actually, neither of them have any Volkite.
Both of those are pretty hard, honestly. They're not slouchy.
Shabbyless either, yeah.
I suppose I could drag the word bearers out there.
What haven't you played?
Are you doing an actual intro game?
No, he's had an intro game on Friday, but I'm just sort of playing, like...
If it's a friendly game...
It's a friendly game.
He's going to boost his confidence. That's
a friendly game.
Yes,
because... Mr. B, is take the army that's got the most variety of units. Because although that's going to tax your small mental capacity for keeping rules in your head, and I know that's tricky.
It could be the Death Guard.
More fun to play against lots of different things than to play against, you know,
it could be some the Death really Guard. Tough. Word bearers are in a weird state where they can only play Pride of the Legion, so...
That's what I would do. I would try and find the list that's got the most in, you know, the different types of units that do different things.
Yeah.
And at least that person gets some experience of, you know, fighting against blast weapons and.
Yeah, I think it might be the Death Guard, but I'll throw a couple lists up on WhatsApp or Discord and put you there. Yes.
Cool. Yeah.
And we'll move on back. Okay. Awesome. Right.
Great stuff. Folks, remember to give us a like and a follow on YouTube. That would be lovely. That make me happy. That's my new quest. More than five people on YouTube.
Let us know what we need to do.
We'll get the new artwork, hopefully, at some point.
Yes. Yep. I did get a message back from Jeff. He is still working on them, so he will.
It's quite a lot. There was five.
I did write a long list.
Nine.
Yeah, I wrote nine.
We should have got a generic one that we could have changed the title of. We'll commission that at some point.
They're just artwork. They're just artwork.
We've got a generic one. It's behind me right now.
I suppose. Yeah, that's true.
They're not. It's just art. There aren't titles to them. So.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Okay.
I think he is putting some titles in them.
Cool. All right. Let's call it a night.
Night.
Great fun, folks. Have a cracking month. Hail yourselves. Bye.
À la prochaine, tout le monde.
Love and snuggles.